welcome aboard, you people. The Robicon Show with Anna DeBlantis on WGN Everywhere as we await the end of the White Sox game, which is tied now in the ninth, right?
Correct.
Bottom of the ninth?
Yep.
All right.
Mayor has a new job. It's just been announced. If you remember, we talked about him working for The Atlantic and ABC News. Mm-hmm. Then this morning, we saw the headline about his 900-mile bike ride he had planned around Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out he'll also be working for an investment bank.
Oh,
Centerview, a boutique investment bank. Huh. He'll be based in the Midwest, but I imagine traveling to Wall Street regularly as he counsels big companies on mergers and other issues. A lot going on for the mayor.
Counsels them on mergers and other issues.
That's right. That's what it says in the Wall Street Journal today. Other matters, actually, said he'll advise clients and use his 30-year Rolodex that he built over his political career to help out clients on mergers and acquisitions.
All right.
So we wish him well with that.
Okay. Well, I understand that the Nationals just had a walk-off home run.
That is accurate.
You know how I know that?
How do you know
because
it?
Because I saw Lauren put her head in her hands and scream with the microphone off and then fall over.
I get the sense that Lauren is terrible at poker because you can tell
exactly
how she's feeling
at poker. That's what's weird.
Really?
I've never lost when I play.
Wow.
Which is rare.
Wow. Well, how many times have you played?
Like three times for money.
Okay.
That is wild.
Don't ask her what she played for when it wasn't money. Don't go there. Don't go there.
It's a whole different kind of poker game.
I know.
Game
that's
that
a
we
weird sort of thing.
About.
Yeah, that's sort of losing, winning anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, all right, mm-hmm. I get it.
Oh, man. It was such a good comeback. That was brutal.
You know, it's funny because she is very animated about the outcomes of sports.
Oh, absolutely.
Never seen anything quite like it.
You get so into it. You're so passionate.
She collapses. We were at the hockey game.
We thought we'd lost her.
Right.
I had 911 on the phone. I mean, you were literally on the ground at the hockey game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure security's like, is your friend drunk? No, she hasn't been drinking at all. She's she's just very
and
upset.
You collapsed between the seats, so suddenly your head went down, and I saw it from like a few rows back, and I thought, we got to check on Lauren. What's happening? And she was down.
That was still kind of when I was new, you guys.
I always just barely knew you, and then boom, you were down. But it was just a passionate and emotional reaction.
We appreciate your passion. You know who's having the worst day ever? The worst, you know, the couple that is having the worst moment ever? I could do this because we're on the web right now, so I can get away with doing this. And, of course, CLTV, which is on cable. So you can get away with this on cable.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pretend it's like HBO. There was a push notification from People Magazine today that I must share with you.
Oh, boy.
I know. Are you ready? I already shared this with Anna.
You did,
I don't
really
know
passed out.
Quite where you
style.
Go. All right. I would like to know, who is the greater victim in this headline? As I read it to you. Prepare yourself. It's of an adult nature.
Okay.
All right. People Magazine, trending story. Marsha Cross learned her anal cancer likely caused by same HPV strain as husband's throat cancer.
What?
Lots to unpack there.
Yeah. Almost worth making Orion read for News or Ruse.
Oh, you couldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Wow.
Can we say Ruse? It's actually news.
No, it's actually news. It is actually... Wait, hold on. That's the wrong thing. That is it. That's it. Oh, my God. I mean, it's bad enough that Marsha Cross has to talk. I know that she's sort of been on a public service campaign.
She doesn't want there to be shame and stigma around that type of cancer.
Right. Right. Because people, you know...
Mm-hmm.
But then the husband, why does the husband have to take it?
Why do you drag him on this? Apparently, is she blaming him? I guess?
I don't know. But and then you go to the throat and the thing and the deal and the, oh, my God.
Yeah, there's connectivities made there that don't need to be made.
Oh, hell no. Oh,
I'm very happy I can't picture what these people look like right now because then it would be really bad at my
Yeah. Okay, so she was from the Desperate Housewives show.
She's right? She has red hair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You remember her? There's like two of them, right? There's two redheads. So now I'm breaking it down. It's between two.
Yeah. She was Brie, right? She was like the mean one, but then she was mean for a reason or I don't know, whatever.
She was on Law and Order SVU and she married an old author. I'm pretty sure that's the one you're talking about.
Oh. I didn't know that piece of information about her. Apparently she was on Knott's Landing too. I did not know that. Oh, Melrose Place. She was Dr. Kimberly.
Right. She was Melrose Place.
It was called what? Is it, what landing?
Not landing. Yes.
Like a balloon not landing.
Oh God! Did you have to? I see.
Are
what
we
you're
still
doing
on the stream?
Yeah, we are still on the stream. Oh my God, that's awful.
I even fear that we're not going to be able to class it up enough when we get off the stream. That's always a problem. The transition is not always smooth.
No, it goes better the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what she said. That's. Oh my God.
Oh. Oh my God, you guys are a bad influence on me.
Oh, okay. Laura's getting the hang of it now with the stream.
Exactly. There you go. Let's let it all
she's
fly.
She's lowering herself to your level is what she's doing.
Just go for it. Just go for it.
We all are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's
hard not to do.
No, it's.
So I just wish her the best. And I know that she is speaking out for a reason. That headline's unfortunate. That did not need to be said that way.
No.
No.
Like in People Magazine, they're like, hey, all right, here's what we're going to do.
What?
Watch this. You know how many people saw that headline before they actually posted it? Right? I mean, and God forbid, it ends up on the cover.
Oh.
Of the magazine as I'm trying to buy my lettuce in a box at Mariano's.
Right. No. Mm-mm.
Lettuce in a box for the salad toss.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with him?
We're on the stream. Whatever.
NCLTV classing
up. Oh, that's right.
Right now they're at the Channel 9 headquarters. And they're watching us.
I'm trying to roll video over this.
So, right. Trying to find a video of a bowl of salad. Salad video.
Yes, I don't know. Wait, hold on. We don't even have it up here. I can't even see. Oh, no, I got it. I think I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, there it is. Oh, you know what? They didn't roll any video over this. That's it. They're just staying with just showing our reactions to this. Because, is Fawn working today? Poor Fawn, who's sitting in there trying to figure out what can I absolutely put on television here. Maybe a test pattern would be a good idea. Temporarily out of order. Please stand by. And Mr. Rennie is in his office. You know, Mr. Rennie, he's tough.
I hope he's busy.
He's tough.
He's not watching.
And he's got those screens in his office, all the TVs in his office. He's looking around at them. And he's looking at, all right, what are they doing here? What are they doing there? What is it? You know, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Then he's like, what?
Right. And then his windows look out into a parking lot. Then he looks back out. And then he looks back at the screens. And he's like, and it doesn't have the sound up, which is good.
Oh, that's
because
huge.
That's how Fawn is saving our career. Because she's not showing tossed salad. She's not showing a balloon knot.
No.
She's not showing pictures of Marsha Cross or People Magazine or running the actual words on the screen.
That should be avoided.
Yeah.
Hero move, Fawn. Thank you.
Thank you.
She is our hero.
But I read that. I look at my phone, and there's a lot of stupid things you see on your phone, right? Push notifications and then texts from your friends or something dumb on social media or there anything coming out of Washington or today coming out of London where the president actually, he actually praised Kim Jong-un during a D-Day commemoration. I don't even know how that is possible.
Tie those together.
And somehow it was Marsha Cross's husband's throat cancer that got me.
As soon as you saw that, you couldn't think of anything else.
Just can't nexus that with the other thing. That's just what it was. All right.
Was a beautiful
start. Hell of a start to the show.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Is Ben standing by? I can't see the other screen here, unfortunately. I'm sorry, we're producing this on the air. I would normally not say this, but this is the additional sort of color.
You get behind-the-scenes sort of action when you listen on the stream.
Right, so that we can get... I can't see the... there's... Fine, if you could show me the newsroom right now and see if you just accidentally so I can see what's happening there.
Fun left. She's like, I'm done with these morons.
This is still my responsibility to deal with them.
Yeah. So... Just someone tell me if Ben's in place.
Ben's in place.
There we
good, because that'll save us from some
Thank
of the
you.
Quotes from People Magazine that I would not want you to get your hands on at all. It would be really dangerous.
Ben's actually eating a bowl of salad right now, which I thought was fitting for the whole...
Oh, God! All right.
What are the chances he's eating salad during that story?
We're going to be joining Ben on the CLTV and WGN Everywhere coming up in just a moment. But first, let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN Radio Newsroom. All right, there you have it. It's the Rokan Show.
Mm-hmm.
with Hannah DeVolanza is everywhere.
That's right.
On 720, on WGNRadio.com and all the associated apps and all the associated distribution platforms.
Right.
And also on the CLTV. And Ben Bradley is joining us from the WGN TV newsroom. And Ben, it is unfortunate that I began with this because I must now go back to it. There is more color on this.
I knew you had to.
The People magazine story about Marsha Cross learning that her anal cancer likely caused by the same HPV strain as her husband's throat cancer. Oh. I thought that was the worst headline I have ever seen ever. And for her husband, you know, or anybody. I mean, it's just sort of the whole thing's bad. But
yeah.
Then you read
it
this.
It seems very blamey in the headline.
Yes.
But the then connectivities.
You read the actual story, and it only goes wilder from there.
Yep, it certainly does.
She's very, very proud of her anus, as she says.
Mm.
She likes to say the word over and over and over again. And she, they got to get the husband out of the story pretty early on, which is good. But, you know, don't be
ashamed. Because he had the cancer 10 years before.
Right. And then all of a sudden now she's, you know, whatever. Anyway, the point is, and then I thought, okay, well, this is kind of a weird thing, but it mm-hmm. turns out this is all based on a CBS This Morning interview that she did.
How could you
about
miss
this.
That?
And I got to say this because, you know, there are a lot of people in cancer recovery and they got to, mm-hmm. you know, they got to know. She said all the people who helped her with this, she refers to as her anal angels.
Her bevy of girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what she calls them.
Yep.
You remember how controversial it was when Katie Couric had a colonoscopy on live
TV?
Yes,
right.
And now
live.
It's come to this.
Yes.
And thank you for dragging me into it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
With
thank
friends
you.
Like you
mm-hmm.
looking out for my career.
You thought maybe we could segue into news topics of the day, but we were stuck on this.
Maybe
as soon
we
as...
could talk about, you know, an important exclusive story we broke this morning. But no, you go ahead about People magazine. And
I'm just saying. Just saying, Ben. We can talk about it now.
There's too much there.
Although, Ben, we have discussed on the radio... Mm-hmm. You know, both of us, you know, our digestive tracts are not our best friends.
No.
Yours worse than mine, but still, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. And mine's just more diagnosed than yours.
Yes,
bro.
Probably
yeah.
true. And we've talked about it, especially when you were stuck in China during the Olympics coverage.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Tell.
Oh, that was a challenge.
Oh, that was
because the
challenge.
Dining opportunities were so limited?
Let's just say I would have killed for white rice and a fortune cookie over there.
Yeah.
Instead, the food was far more exotic.
Yep. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And you tasted it
and
all.
And finding public bathrooms in China, not the same as finding the you know the best bathrooms. You know how I do that. I find the best bathrooms. I am everywhere around the world, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't. But Ben couldn't find them when he was in Beijing for the Olympics, and we would often talk about that off the air about what was about how what a challenge that it can actually be.
Yeah,
I'm really glad the CLTV audience. And again, I know that in Mr. Rennie's office,
right.
the sound is not up on CLTV.
Let's hope not.
No,
both of our careers.
Not.
And poor Fawn is up there right now, going, I have no idea what
right.
video to put with this segment.
She's
right.
had that problem since we started. I
yeah.
think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. been yep. a real problem. Thank you, Fawn, for
yeah.
staying
all
with
you
us.
Do.
You always go on the web, Fawn, and then just Google.
Don't
you know?
Google.
What?
Do
oh,
not.
No. All right.
Google. Beijing bathroom problems.
Or the Marsha Cross thing.
Yeah.
Just let's stay away from that.
Yeah.
Wait, what story did you break this morning on the WGN TV news?
So this is an interesting story. The former head U.S. Marshal in Chicago, a guy named Ed Gilmore, who abruptly retired about a year ago without explanation. We learned today through the Justice Department's Inspector General some of the reasons why he may have retired. And they include... According to the Inspector General, a threatening comment that he made about a sitting federal judge while he was at firearms training with other members of the U.S. Marshals Service. Now, keep in mind that the Marshals, one of their biggest jobs is protecting federal courthouses and federal judges. And Mr. Gilmore, during his time as the head U.S. Marshal in Chicago, according to the Inspector General, made an inappropriate comment about shooting a judge.
Oh, boy.
He later said he was joking and admitted the comment was inappropriate. But to tell you how rocky this relationship is, it's pretty rare for a reporter to get a call back from a sitting federal judge, let alone the chief judge. And I just got a call back from Ruben Castillo, who said, yes, he, in fact, believes that he was the subject of that threatening comment. While no one is suggesting that there was ever any intent to actually do the judge harm, Judge Castillo is pretty upset about it. He said it's an unprecedented comment, and in today's era of workplace violence, it's one we need to know about. He said Gilmore was one of the few people who could walk into his chambers fully armed. And so you have...
I okay, I get it. I understand that it is inappropriate. The guy who has that amount of responsibility, even when he's standing around at, you know, requalifying his firearm, shouldn't be making that joke.
No,
and I apologize for it, but I mean, it doesn't seem as though that was an actual threat.
No, but you got the guy running the agency charged with protecting Judge making a flippant comment.
Yes.
Another guy I know who I spoke to today, who's the former deputy U.S. Marshal in Chicago, John O'Malley, equated it to having a high-level Secret Service person make a joke about shooting the president.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
And tragedy has fallen upon the U.S. Courthouse
right here,
the Dirksen Federal Building in Chicago. And the bigger picture issue, and why I think Judge Castillo was willing to talk to me about it, is that Mr. Gilmore's reign was not a pleasant one. He was appointed by Barack Obama, after being the Calumet City police chief, he also, for a time, worked for the DEA and the Chicago Police Department. And Judge Castillo told me that the two had a number of run-ins over courthouse security. And, in fact, the Justice Department's Inspector General said
so
that Gilmore also made an inappropriate comment in a meeting with the chief judge.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so this was according to the Inspector General, just not a one-time flippant comment.
Okay.
And when you're the boss making the comment in front of your subordinates, it's going to get you in a little bit of trouble. So right. We'll have more on that today on the WGN News at 4 and 6.
Nice.
All right. Okay. We're not going to play any of the audio for you, Ben, from CBS this morning.
You're going to spare him having to listen
mercy.
To that?
It will be in the top 5 at 5, though, for those.
Oh, boy.
And those people are not ready for it because we're still on the World Wide Web. In just a few minutes, we're going back to the radio station's going to join this show.
Already in progress.
Yes. And we will but I'll have to reestablish this entire storyline.
Yeah. Well, hey, FYI, you've piqued interest in our newsroom because our executive producer, Dom is Googling right now China's high-tech tool to fight toilet paper bandits as he tries to figure out what we're talking about, rather unsuccessfully.
Tell Dom not to try to follow along with what we're talking
Dom,
about.
There's no way to follow along served. To this
train Get Dom on the phone.
Get Dom on the phone.
All right. These poor people get one side of a terrible conversation.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And thank God Mr. Rennie's getting no sides of this conversation. I'm just going to wave off to him and say hello.
It's all fine.
Yes, thank you
it's
all for
going
being
great
here. Yes.
In Radio Land.
Thank you, Ben.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Ben.
All right, there goes Ben Bradley. You can see him on the WGN TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 12. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Checking in with Kim Gordon and the WGN News right now. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis on WGN Everywhere and CLTV. We're about to be joined by 7:20 a.m. in just a moment here. They've been in White Sox baseball. Sox falling to the Nats 5-4 today. And
6-4.
6-4. And this is two in a row. Sox were on a roll, man.
They were
right there. And I think they'll come back.
Be all right. Playing much more, much better than it's night and day compared to last year. They won 6 of 7 on the homestand. Then yes, they were swept out of Washington, but
right and a two gamer. Yeah, so that's okay. And then they head to where do they head here?
They're off tomorrow. Then they go to Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. That's good. That's for what ails you. Right there.
That's true. And there's been some, you know, some drama, some chippiness between the Sox and Royals with the whole Tim Anderson thing. The Royals threw it at Anderson earlier in the year. That cleared the dugouts. And then they threw him at him again the other last week. So they said it wasn't intentional, but things getting chippy between the Sox and Royals.
Yeah. So going to be fun. That's a, I mean, it's not fun to be in Kansas City, but it is fun.
No.
I think to,
I'd agree.
To at least, you know, be in the thing.
Right.
You know, like to be. This is a moment. I'm going to tell you. I believe that the Chicago White Sox will be 500 by the All-Star break.
All right, heard it here first.
Yep, I think they're going to be. They got real close.
They did. They were just a game off of 500.
Right.
They've gotten to a game off of 500
back,
a couple times. Yeah,
three off of 500 now. So I have a feeling. I have a feeling. Really am enjoying them. I'm trying to tell all my Cubs fans friends how exciting they are.
To come on over to South Side. How's that working?
Not well.
Okay.
but we are going to be... Have we announced this yet? It's CLTV. We can announce whatever we want at any given moment, right? Because CLTV is the great, basically, it's a great liberator of my thoughts. I can say whatever I want on CLTV and hope it doesn't hurt anybody. But we're going to be at both Cubs Sox up at Wrigley and then, of course, down at the Rate.
Nice.
As well.
Very cool.
But we'll be announcing a live pregame show where you can come out and hang out with us.
Nice.
Up in Wrigleyville at one of the prime spots in Wrigleyville as we get ready for Cubs Sox on the 18th of June. That is 2 weeks from yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how about that?
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Broadcast live out there.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very good.
Very exciting. And with both sides of town, too. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll be down south, of course, as we are all the time, down somewhere around. I don't know where exactly we're doing it. I haven't been told the final disposition of this.
Like the location? Like yes. We're not going to be at the stadium. We'll be at a bar
right.
or something?
We're gonna be, I think we're going to be
on location.
I think we're going to be on location down, near Sox Park, as I like to call it.
Right.
And I think
Guaranteed rate?
I think it's my favorite place, but they're still working on the deal there.
Okay, so you don't want to say anything.
I can't say anything.
Get ahead of the news.
No.
And the news release.
No, and then the next thing you know, I announce it, and then they up the price, and then they come to me, and they go, what did you do? You're a moron. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Plus, you like the legal team to create a carefully worded release for you so that you can read it on the air and struggle through it. That's always the fun part.
That's what happens here. It's like
Ro, read this.
Hold on. Wait, is there one day left? We still have one day left? And then, where's my script on this? Since we're doing this, and when do we come back onto the radio? Because this is the part where I am. Wait, Port. That was the Marsha Clark story.
No, I don't want to go there. This is the part where you
line up. This is like you're lining up over O'Hare to land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're just and they're making us go in circles until they can clear us.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah. How much time we got here?
Is it one
About
more
three
day?
Minutes, three and a half minutes?
Three and a half minutes before. Oh, I thought you were talking about the contest.
Yeah, here, I'm going to read this. Oh, this is good. We're still on the web, right? Mm-hmm. And CLTV?
Yeah. You got a couple
no
minutes
rules.
Here.
Chicago Blackhawks open their 2019-20 season. We all know this in Prague, the Czech Republic, correct?
Yes.
That's going to be Friday, October 4th. They're taking on the Flyers of Philadelphia.
2 p.m. Central.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Steve Cochran Show weekdays through tomorrow, June 6th at 7:40 a.m. to hear a sounder. Don't change that dial. Cochran will also give you a window of when you want to make sure you're listening again during the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis to hear that sounder again.
Okay.
So you can tell
it's
totally written by lawyers. Because they
There's an easier way to say this.
There is, but they don't want to say it that way. Because that can be interpretable in a negative way.
Okay.
Be the specified number caller to dial in for the chance to win a Blackhawks fan package that includes 4 tickets to the Blackhawks convention, signed replica jersey, signed hockey stick, and a signed puck and photo, and you'll be qualified to win the trip for 2 to Prague. Now, what's interesting is that you call in...
Mm-hmm. When you hear the sounder.
Be the specified number caller to dial in for the chance to win a Blackhawks fan package. You automatically win the fan package,
mm-hmm.
but they don't even want to say that in this.
No.
That's how careful they are, because when you call and then you don't qualify for some reason, you're too young or you won an hour ago or whatever, then they're like, hey, I can't say. I would say, then you win. They go, no, you cannot win. No matter how they have written this, it almost makes it impossible to win anything.
I know, and yet we give it to them. But then they qualify to be part of the pool of applicants for the trip to the Prague.
Yes.
What do you call it again?
Pucking in Prague.
That's right. That's not the official contest. That's just what you call
it. It's called Pucks in Prague, and I like to call it Pucking in Prague. We'll award 8 qualifying packages, and the grand prize winner from all qualifiers will be announced on June 7th at 7:40 a.m. The Steve Cochran Show. Complete details, including official rules, at WGNRadio.com/contest. Stand by, please. Hold on. Shh. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720
yes.
WGN Chicago. Tough one for the White Sox. Lauren tried to climb out of the window here on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker when they walk off.
I understand why they put me in a box now.
Home run happened, and yes,
yeah.
we've secured the things. You're so much of a White Sox fan, so
a very emotional one at that. So we can tell what's happening in the game just by watching Lauren's reaction at any given moment. So we know we're able to keep it, ahead of what's happening.
Right, exactly. So we welcome you aboard. Many things that we are going to be getting to today, including but not limited to Ryan Lochte's cameo appearances. Yes,
so he's on that service, the cameo service we were just talking about.
Apparently everybody is on the
cameo. They're growing cameo like crazy. Service. Chicago-based company, big true success story for the founder Stephen Galanis and his team. Just saw him today. I said, "Hi, Stephen. We talked about you on the radio yesterday." He goes, "Oh, you did?" I said, "Yeah, thanks for listening. So busy growing a company, you can't listen to us."
I think that's really exactly what's going on there. And we have Alderman Brian Hopkins to talk about a crime spree that's going on downtown and what to do about it.
He's not happy about that.
No. And millennials are afraid to take lunch. I can't wait to tell you this story.
They're not eating?
They are not eating lunch. Millennials apparently do not eat lunch.
I don't know if that's true. Do you think that's true?
We have two millennials here.
We'll check in with and ask them.
All the millennial reports that come out are always completely accurate. So there are no doubts
in this story. I would actually say this one is
accurate.
They're
ruining everything.
Especially in our business.
Yeah, but
there's just no time.
And millennials also, listen to this, are, they've moved from the cocktail to the balloon. They drink through a balloon.
What?
Yep. Absolutely true.
Oh, it's good to keep up with millennials and what they're doing.
Yes. Apparently it's good to drink through a balloon. I didn't know you could even do that.
I didn't either.
Well, we're going to find out about that. That's coming up later on the 4 o'clock hour. And also, the story of the Dominican Republic in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to cover this.
Crazy.
Three Americans have... One couple and another individual, not known to each other, check in on the same day to a resort in the Dominican Republic, all end up dead by that night. What happened to them? We'll find out about that.
Such a troubling story and situation.
Yeah.
Not resolved.
And then and News of Ruse is going to be, it's going to be a big one. We are going very high for News of Ruse.
Mm-hmm.
A man who I guess was here last week. I was not, but was here last week with you. Alex Panko, who is attempting to complete the Explorer's Grand Slam.
Such an incredible guy. I mean, he was on Everest and was talking to us about what happened that week when it was extremely deadly, and that you saw that line that looked like a line for a Disneyland ride during up there at the final ascent to the top of Everest. He had a guide that really well planned what they were going to do, and because of that, he believes they survived. But obviously, others didn't. And just a harrowing tale of what he saw and what he thinks should happen to try to improve conditions.
Right. But he did that then. He's going to play News of Ruse today. I don't know how that all works out.
Good to have him back. He's an incredible story.
Look, can I just ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, all these T-shirt wearing, I don't know why they wear T-shirts on Everest, but they do, guys who eat one walnut a day, drink beer in the base camp. I don't know, whatever it is.
Do that and make it to the top. You have to be pretty healthy.
Hipster thing. No, they do. I do know that they drink beer in the base camp because they don't want to get sick. Mm-hmm. And beer is the only thing that won't make you. I mean, makes me sick. But they worry about the food because they don't want to get something
right in that full gear when you're outfitted so many layers.
Yes, so they are very careful about what they have, and apparently beer works. I don't know. Anyway, I've always thought that as well. But this story is so weird because, like he said, he had a guide who knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
So these Sherpas, I'm assuming there's still Sherpas who do it.
There are guide groups. He was telling us they're professional guide groups, and they can cost up to $100,000.
Yeah.
And then there's the low end, sort of the budgeteer version of that he's pretty critical of, that just sort of cut corners, the cut rate outfitters, and that he said they'll make choices that he thinks endangers not only the people who pay that money, but the others on the mountain at the same time.
So I ask you this. Those people, the outfitters, the Sherpas, the other people do it, how many times have they summited? Right? People come back here and they're like, I summited Mount Everest and it was wonderful and I yodeled at the top and it was fantastic. Oh,
good for you. And the Sherpas have done it like 1,000 times.
And the Sherpa's like, oh, you forgot your watch up there. I'll go up and get it.
Yeah, let me run and get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what are you? Why?
And I was carrying most of your stuff, is probably what the Sherpa's right. saying while you were up there. You were carrying your camera so you could take the selfie at the top.
Right. You're so brave. So brave.
Well, most of them do it for themselves, let's be honest. However, our guest has done it to raise money for a special cause because he had a brain tumor as a child and yes. he raises money for Lurie. So.
Yeah, which is great.
A little different. There's a little different motivation there, but he's just incredible by what he's done.
Yes, it is. It is incredible. Not as incredible as the Sherpas who are up there every day.
Highly impressive. And carrying your gear.
Right.
A lot of the extra oxygen tanks you might need and all the other heavy stuff that you maybe can't fit in your backpack.
Hey, Tenzin, get up here. I can't breathe.
Give me your oxygen tank.
It's all like this fancy, like, you know, like white people from the United States and Europe are like, you cannot believe I just summited Everest. And meanwhile, you know, Jimmy Sherpa over here is like, okay, go blank yourself. But, you know, I'll take the $100,000. Smoking a cigarette. There's a Sherpa who's actually jogging.
And probably picking up a lot of the garbage that the climbers leave behind, too. That, you know, the locals are probably in charge of that.
Yeah. So, all right. All of that is coming your way on this radio program. But first, let us check in with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Well, we could be closer to finding out the truth about Bigfoot.
Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Kim Gordon on the news. Kevin, no big deal, Powell. Had a good run on sports, and of course, Lauren Lapka on the traffic.
And you guys are going to be out at the big golf tournament tomorrow. Jared Payton's event. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
Cochran and you in the morning, and then Kevin, you are playing not with Joe Donlin, even though you wanted to, but that didn't work out. I know he's still your best friend, but you're still going to be in a different foursome.
Well, normally you just assume you're going to play with your best friend, so we're kind of a little curious about what's going on there, but that's all right. I'm sure Joe is.
So he's making him play with me. So that's that.
So what are we doing? Are we teeing off after you guys are done?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. I think we're going to just join our foursome in progress. Yes.
Okay.
And and go from there.
How do you score then? Is it a scramble?
It's hard. You go to Tavern on Rush. Then
We're not on the stream anymore.
Sorry.
That sort of sounds like stream content.
I don't really know how they score that. I think they just assume that, you know, four is better than two. So in terms of a shot, in terms of a scramble like that, so that they just accept it. Do they really have rules at these things?
I don't know. Everybody just has fun.
There's always one group of guys who like they buy tickets to all these things because they're all like scratch golfers with cheater handicaps.
Yeah,
and then they go out and they win all these things as they're trying to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always the couple, two guys maybe, who take it a little too seriously. That's what I find at these charity golf tournaments. And sometimes you get land in their foursome, and that's not always that fun.
Mm-mm.
I've learned that firsthand.
Mm-mm. People bring in ringers.
It is it's unfortunate, really, because this is for charity, and it is for fun. If you happen to be playing well that day, it's, you know, it's icing on the cake, but that's not the point of the cake.
No.
No.
Good point.
So we are...
Make that speech tomorrow.
Yeah.
Remind people, okay?
Be inspired by what the whole thing is for. Don't bully the people that are golfing bad. It's not fun. It's not nice.
It sounds like someone's been bullied on the course before.
I've been bullied everywhere, but I've also been the bully, so I should take my own advice.
There you go. This is where you get on the course, and Jared drives around in a golf cart.
Oh,
and then
sweet.
He comes to visit everybody, takes a picture with them.
Nice.
And then, in the grand tradition of his father, tickles you and then drives off.
He gives the best hugs.
He's such a warm
human
being.
Big bear hug guy.
Yes. He's literally a bear hug.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah, no, it's a great event. It's at Ruffle Feathers tomorrow. I believe it's sold out. So, but if people want to come out, you can come hang out. Well, check the website, jaredpayton.org, right? Or Jared, what is it?
It's the foundation, isn't it, Jared?
jaredpaytonfoundation.org. And you can check that out. But also, you can come in and just see the Cochran Show tomorrow morning. I'm scheduled to appear on that. I don't know exactly at what time.
Okay.
Show ends at what time does that show end again?
It ends at 10 still. Yeah, 10 o'clock in the morning. So you can get there. 9 o'clock is not too early, not too late, I don't think, or early. That'd be appropriate.
What time does that show start?
You're not going to be there for six, I don't think.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, no. Well, he didn't. You know what? You know what Steve told me? He's like, I want to just, let me get on a roll first before you get there. And ruin my mojo, or, you know, just create a problem for me. So I said, sure, I'll get there, you know, whenever you want.
Uh-huh.
As late as you want, I'll get there.
Is Cochran going to play then? So he'll play too? Or maybe
yeah.
Not. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're all going. You know what? That might be the foursome. Kev.
Oh.
But we're not going to be able to finish because we got to come back.
Right.
So we got other issues.
Yeah, the scrambles take some time, so we'll probably get like a hole and a half in before we have to leave.
They did last year, that was for sure. And we're still on the course from last year. Just reminding you of that.
Worst places to be hanging out, though. Beautiful
for sure.
Golf course.
All right, Chicago Alderman Brian Hopkins is going to join us about how to protect downtown Chicago from all forms of criminal activity that is happening down here right now. And again, this is a moment, a very critical moment in Chicago, and a very critical moment for Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, who, you know,
yes,
campaigned
indeed
on saying she's going to fix some of these problems. Mm-hmm. And she's uniquely qualified to do so because of her work before. So all of that is coming your way right after this. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two in Europe. Listen to Win Your Way to Pucks and Prague weekday mornings at 7:40 on 720 WGN Chicago. Kim Gordon's news right now at 4 o'clock. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. All right, stepping into the studio, Alderman Brian Hopkins from the Second Ward, which encompasses a fair piece of downtown of the Michigan Avenue Shopping District and, of course, up into and touching Lincoln Park in a gerrymandering that I have rarely ever seen. But it is...
And may
but,
never see again.
And, right. The Supreme Court may put an end to it, but who knows. All right, so there was a story, this is from two nights ago, of a series of muggings, I suppose, the best way to put it, in the North Streeterville area, generally one of the safest places on earth, let alone the city of Chicago. And it is it's caught the attention, along with other stories about what's going on in Michigan Avenue, things that are a little less, you know, because these were muggings and the people were not seriously hurt, but it's still driving this narrative that downtown is unsafe. And even for residents, I was out with some people who grew up in that neighborhood last night. And they're like, well, you know, how do we even use our own city? What do we do about this? And I know you're getting these calls all the time. With Mayor Lightfoot now taking office, what can you say to her? What do you need?
Well, I will say this. In the last couple of days, I have seen an outpouring of additional police patrol resources focused on my community, unprecedented in my time as alderman. I've never seen the level of resources being deployed in response to a series of incidents like we've just seen, and we're also ramping up for the coming weekend. So without even having to make the call to Mayor Lightfoot, I'm seeing a response from the 18th Police District that I'm very encouraged by. And also, I should give a shout out to Northwestern University. They have their own police department, which patrols Streeterville, and they have really stepped up their game in recent weeks, too. They have their own campus to protect, but they're also looking at their larger community.
There.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because a lot of people incorrectly think they're more like security guards or campus cops. They are actually fully trained, sworn police officers that graduated from the State Police Academy in Springfield. So they have full police authority, and they can make arrests. They have all the power, and
they hand them over. If they make an arrest, the CPD comes and picks them up, takes them, and process them through CPD, or they go to the sheriffs come and pick them up and take them to the county jail.
That was one of the details that we recently worked out in a new agreement to make that a little bit more seamless, that they can take custody of an offender and arrest that person and then transport them to the 18th Police District on Larrabee and Division and let CPD take it from there so they can get their guys right back out on the street.
Right, because that would be an issue because they don't have that many, I would imagine, vehicles.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't, although I will say they've also added bike patrol. So we now have Northwestern University police on bikes, you know, serving as a force multiplier with Chicago Police Department.
And they can curb vehicles and things like that, too?
They can. Yeah. They can issue traffic citations. They've been doing this in Evanston at Northwestern's main campus for a number of years. And we just thought, you know, why not do it down here in Streeterville, too? And we've worked out an agreement with them. And so far, everybody seems to be happy with it. I should also mention that finalizing the terms of this agreement was the topic of the meeting that I was in with Alderman Riley when we were waiting for Commander Paul Bauer to come to that meeting when he was fatally shot. That was the final sign-off that we needed that day, and it's ironic that he was on his way to that meeting to make that happen when he was tragically murdered. And today, you know, we're finally able to codify that agreement and get it in writing, and it's working to keep the neighborhood safe. So even, you know, in the aftermath of Paul Bauer's death, he's still having an impact on public safety in Streeterville.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so. There's this misperception, I think, that these robberies only happen after midnight or odd hours. These particular ones happen 7:38 minutes of each other, 7:50 and 8:13 in the evening. So totally a time when that part of the city has a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people out and about in the restaurants and shops and things like that.
Sure. In the late afternoon, early evening, the most congested part of the city, packed with tourists, people on every corner, you know, lots of activity in daylight still.
Right.
And there was just this blatant string of street crimes and robberies. Just, you know, the boldness is really shocking to even hardened people who have been in this game for a while are saying they've never seen anything like this. I'm going to make a prediction. The police are reluctant to say things like I'm about to say, but I've got a little more freedom than they do. I'm going to predict that arrests will be made and that it's going to turn out to be surprisingly young juvenile offenders, 14, 15 years old,
right,
that have no impulse control and made some very bad spontaneous decisions. I don't think they were planning a crime spree. I think they were just doing it at, you know, with their friends.
And do we believe that these are all related? Because police won't say that either.
The police won't say that either, and I understand that they tell me not to say that, right?
Okay.
And I get that because the detectives have to pursue all possible angles. They can't rule anything out.
Got it.
But there is a pattern here, and there's some similarities to these crimes that just make you logically infer that there's a connection there.
Okay. So when we talk about 14 and 15-year-olds, and this goes back to something that I think right now is very much on the front burner for protecting Chicago, and that
Absolutely.
Is the behavior of the state's attorney and the political ideals of the state's attorney's office is now articulated through the state's attorney, which is that we don't want to necessarily put people in jail for you know, keep them in jail. You heard Eddie Johnson on Monday talk about this at a press conference about how the cops are doing their job. They're arresting people, and then 2 days later, they're back out on the street because the state's attorney either will not charge or they let them, you know, they encourage the judges to I-bond them out and send them on their way. And county jail is at about half capacity.
So it's not a jail issue. Yesterday, the police official reported that 11 of the 19 people arrested on gun charges over the weekend, a very violent weekend for the city, were already back on the street as of yesterday, 11 of the 19.
What can be done?
Yeah, I mean, that's a key question. I'm a member of the legislative branch of government, not the judicial branch, and I share the frustration that I hear echoed from police officers and others who are doing their job only to see the justice branch of government just basically drop the ball. It's not working, you know. We have to rethink the concept of what's called restorative justice, you know, that was originally sold to us as the notion that locking people up and incarcerating them doesn't ultimately solve the problem of crime. It doesn't solve social injustice. It doesn't give us job opportunities. It doesn't make up for deficient school systems. All that's true. But if you simply take away the ability of the police to make arrests, and if you take away punishment for committing crimes and that leaves nothing in its place,
consequences,
we've really just taken our foot off the gas here.
Right.
It doesn't make any
sense. Social justice is not allowing somebody to go knock somebody over the head and steal their phone and get away with it. It is. I don't care what circumstance that 14 or 15-year-old is enduring at the moment. He or she does not have the right to do that. And that is not social justice to say, well, you know, you had a tough childhood, so let's just move along. That can't be. That can't stand. Now, are there ways to divert that child in a different way than you would an adult? Certainly. Why aren't we focusing on that? But not letting them back out on the street is part of that. And this, and so, you know, take the kids out of this equation, because I know that's one of the things too. It's often said that gangs, you know, for, I mean, as long as I've been alive, they've been saying gangs will use shorties, as they call them, to, you know, younger kids to go be drug mules or weapons mules, because they're not really going to suffer any major consequence for it, because they're not going to end up in jail as you would with an adult, right?
Right.
Because they would go into the juvenile system here, the audio.
Hear it all the time.
We've seen that play out with carjackings, especially
yes.
where
mm-hmm.
older criminals are recruiting young, excuse me, young juveniles mm-hmm. to steal the cars, knowing that if they do get caught, it'll be a slap on the wrist if even that.
It's no coincidence we've seen 14 and 15 year olds carjacking people
yes.
across the city.
Right. So now the question is, what do we do about that? And, you know, where, what system do we have? Obviously, you cannot send them, cannot put them in county jail. You can't put them in 26th Street. But what can you do? You know, there are facilities for juveniles, juvenile offenders. You can send them back to their parents, some of whom are very attempting to be responsible people, and they've got a runaway kid. That happens. That happens in every community, in every country, everywhere around the world. That just, that happens. But there are also parents who, I would say, equal or more parents who are aiding and abetting or not caring, or somehow the parenting is pushing this in that direction. So what do we do for those kids we cannot return to their homes? And again, caseworkers, we don't have enough of those. We don't have enough eyes on this problem. We don't have enough feet and hands on this problem. That's a separate issue. That's a budgeting issue. I don't know where we get with that. But we do have to say, we have to send a signal that so that in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grades of the Chicago schools, that kids can't learn from each other and say, hey, look, I can do whatever I want because nothing bad's going to happen to me. How do we stop that, interrupt that process?
Yeah, there has to be a programmatic response to that. I will give former Mayor Emanuel some credit for that. He was a big advocate of the BAM program, B-A-M, Becoming a Man, which was a mentorship program for youth that were maybe lacking that family structure. You can't really replace that, but you can add something to the school curriculum. You could take schools and weave them more tightly into the fabric of a neighborhood society and to set positive examples, to give kids alternatives to street life. You know, have them occupied, give them all sorts of diversions, art, music, sports, training, all those kinds of things that good, solid family units normally provide. In the absence of that, it's no excuse for us to take our hands off the wheel and say, we're not going to try to supplement it. We actually can. And there's all sorts of mentorship programs that are taking place right now that have proven to make a difference.
And back to the question Hannah asked, though, 11 out of 19, right?
11 out of 19 from this weekend's shooting violence, 52 people shot in the city. 11 of the illegal gun holders are back on the streets.
Not necessarily the shooters. I don't want to conflate those two things. These are people, these are gun arrests, right?
No, this is 11 of the 19 people involved in the shootings. Here, let me look it up.
Yeah, in some cases, those are the victims of the shootings that were actually out on parole or had a previous gun conviction.
Right, and they had a gun on them
and
as
they
well.
They had a gun on them when they were shot.
Yeah.
So
11 of the 19 individuals arrested on gun charges over the weekend are already out on the street as of yesterday.
Right.
7 of the individuals were previously convicted felons. 6 had prior gun offenses in their backgrounds, and yet they, too, are out on the street as of yesterday.
Yeah, and there was another case recently where someone who was out on bond for murder charges was arrested in the state of Minnesota, involved in an interstate drug ring. And the Minnesota authorities were a little bit surprised to find out that this individual, you know,
was out on a murder,
pending murder case. And yet he was fearless enough to still
be involved in a murder case.
Yeah, here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he was caught just across the state line in Minnesota.
What is happening?
See, that's... I don't know what we have to do here to get the attention of, I think Kim Fox's attention, that even if Kim Fox is like, listen, this isn't my problem. This is not what I stand for. She is wearing the vestige of having that political position, that it's, you know, this is about restorative justice and we're just going to, you know, these, you know, smaller crimes, we just, you know, we got to feel sorry. We can't do anything about it. That's the feeling that a lot of Chicagoans get. And she's got to get out and clean that up. It is her responsibility. And I'm sorry to keep bringing up the Jussie Smollett thing, but And it's because of that. It's because it's the worst example. You know, cops have been complaining about her for 18 months, for almost you know, 2 years she's been in office, right?
Privately, but it didn't really become as public until that moment, and everyone saw a look at how something from her office was handled.
Right, and then you had this high-profile, the stupidest thing ever, high-profile situation, and she makes that go away, and then it's like, see, this is what we were talking about. She owes it to the people of Cook County. She owes it to the citizens of the city of Chicago, where the majority of the crime in Cook County is taking place, to stop and say, listen, this is what I believe, and these are the policies I am now going to enforce, because she is not doing it. She cannot run forever. She cannot, because at some point she's an elected official. She would have to either be impeached or she would have to step down on her own. There's no other way to do it.
I fully expect that she's going to run for a second term as state's attorney
in 2020.
It's a countywide election. It's coming up. It's going to be here, you know, sooner than you think. At this point, I actually do not know anyone who has said they intend to run against her. I imagine there will be. And that will be the focal point of that campaign and that debate. What exactly does restorative justice mean? If it means we're not going to incarcerate people for committing crimes anymore, what is the alternative?
What are we going to do?
We haven't really focused
on that.
What are the programs that work? How do we do these interventions? How do we keep our communities safe from people who have proven that they have violent tendencies and who are willing to cause harm to innocent people? If we're not going to separate them from society, what are we going to do? And we really haven't had that conversation yet. It's time.
I agree. It's totally time.
All right. Alderman, thank you. We'll leave it right there. There's more to come. Don't get me started. Do not get me started.
Well, then I won't tell you that Jussie Smollett, there's news on his front today. He's officially not coming back to Empire.
Yes. You know what? On the other side, we'll just tell that little story.
Okay.
Because I think it's a very interesting story. Because
it is.
Even Lee Daniels, the great Lee Daniels, director, producer, the guy who created Empire along with many other great...
Very talented.
...entertainments throughout his great career, even he was like, oh, hell no!
An African-American man himself.
Yes, when Jussie Smollett was like, hey, you know, I think I might be coming back for 5 minutes. Anybody want to see me back?
Yeah.
Anybody want to see me back? Which is how this thing started in the first place. Please, don't get me started!
I think we just did.
Yeah, the Empire Strikes Back.
No. Not you two, Alderman. Not you two. All right.
Out of nowhere.
Kim Fox, step aside! Kim Gordon, give me the headlines!
And then there's this. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, so the Jussie Smollett story that has broken here is that he apparently went to the social media to proclaim, to tease the potential of a return, a very short return to Empire on its last season, which is going to start filming here in a couple of weeks in Chicago. Right, the last season is has been announced, and they want to, you know, they want to go out with a bang. It's been a very successful enterprise. Empire has very good show, not only great ratings but also critical acclaim. So the So Jussie Smollett comes out and says that he starts a rumor about himself, essentially. And then Lee Daniels.
And it was picked up by like Variety or one of the trade publications, basically that it seemed like there might be a return, indicating that might be happening for Jussie Smollett.
This guy is sick.
Wow, so the guy that made up a story about something and then went to the news about it, made up a story about something else and the news picked it up again?
It's like, when will we learn?
That's exactly what happened! Don't get me started! And then Lee Daniels had to come out. And, you know, God bless Lee Daniels. He's one of my favorites. We had the opportunity to meet him a number of years ago. He's done some of the most important films of the last couple of years and the TV shows. He stood up and he said, no. Mr. Smollett will not be returning to Empire. And he left it at that. He's a classy guy. He didn't want to go.
Very clear, though.
You know, and sort of get into some sort of stupid Twitter war. I mean, what does he think? He's the president of the United States? No.
No.
He decided he was
going
to be.
He's not going petty.
Yeah, he's just going to go, boom, this is it. Not going to happen.
Well, and he actually specifically responded to that Variety article that said, exclusive, Empire writers prepping for Jussie Smollett's return in season 6. And there's a picture front and center of Jussie, and I'm just going to guess that he was the anonymous source for that. And then Lee Daniels just retweeted and said, this is not factual. Jussie will not be returning to Empire, period, full stop, done.
Thank you, and goodbye forever! All right.
Buh-bye, he did not say.
You know, I was having such a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to bring this up.
Oh, I thought this would make you feel better. Because, okay. I mean, imagine if you, I mean, just, of course, there's nonsense involved because it's Jussie Smollett. But yes. The end result, actually, there's some justice here.
We're almost done talking about him.
I don't know that we are. There's still a review of Kim Fox's handling of it. I know some people want it to go away, but I just feel like there's an integrity issue for her office. And the answers are not there for the public to be satisfied at this point.
You got to remember, there are high-ranking members of the state attorney's office. In the Cook County state attorney's office, there's a lot of career people in there.
Sure.
It's not as political as you think. There are people who, you know, go into that office and they want to stay in there and they want to do the right thing.
And have been and there then, for several administrations.
Right. And then they want to become a judge. And that's how that goes. And that's all right. It's the way it should be. And a lot of those career people who have given their, they could have made more money in other jobs, those people chose to do that because they wanted to see justice done here in Chicago and in Cook County. And some of those high-ranking people, a few of them, walked away from the office because they could not deal with this anymore.
Right.
And she's got to take that. And the people who are, you know, her political patrons, the people who wanted to help her get elected, need to stop and rethink that. There are still some who are in office and there's some who are under indictment. But the fact is that those people need to stop and say, I can't, you can't support this because it's not good law. It's not good governance. All right. I said it. It's all I can do. I can scream and yell and get out of control and get nuts as much as I want. And it doesn't seem to be helping.
No, it's not helping.
Kim's news in 2 minutes. Con show with Anna DeVlantes.
Yes, that's me.
20 WGN. All righty. I suppose I should share with you this story from earlier. Oh, wait. First, I got to do this because I only did this on the web when we were starting for the White Sox.
The contest rolls.
Game ended, yeah. This is like our last day to tell you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because thankfully, your last day to read the contest rolls.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Blackhawks, as we all know, are opening up their season in Prague, the Czech Republic.
Yes.
This is going to be on October 4th. This is going to be a big deal for the NHL, a big deal for the Hawks, a big deal for the Czech Republic, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
And for Marian Hossa, who is, I think they're going to put him on a pedestal and skate him around.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to the Steve Cochran Show weekdays through tomorrow, June 6th at 7:40 a.m., you will hear a sounder. Now, that's a radio term.
Yeah.
For a wacky musical or something kind of thing.
But you kind of know it when you hear it, even though it's not really easy to describe it.
Don't change that dial, exclamation point, writes the lawyers. Cochran will also give you a window of when you want to make sure you're listening again during the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantes.
Okay.
To hear that sounder again. Be the specified number caller to dial in for the chance to win a Blackhawks fan package. That includes 4 tickets to the Blackhawks convention, signed replica jersey, signed hockey stick, and signed puck and photo, and you're going to be qualified to win the trip for 2 to Prague.
Great.
All right. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little vague because the lawyers don't want you to know too much. They don't want you to run off and try to take advantage of the wording of this. So they have written it in a way that gives them all the leeway.
Well, and that's the problem when you have lawyers write things. This is how it turns out. No one can understand it, but everyone's covered, hopefully.
We'll award 8 qualifying packages, and the grand prize winner from all qualifiers will be announced on June 7th at 7:40 a.m. on the Steve Cochran Show.
That's going to be huge.
Right.
When we find out.
Complete details, including official rules at WGNradio.com/contests. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it'd be super cool to get to go see the Hawks play in Prague, and only Lauren Lapka is the only representative of our team who is going to be there because she just happened to be in Prague.
Fate has a funny way of working,
and she's a huge Blackhawks fan, so it's just it's all working out for her.
You were scheduled to be in Prague for some other event in October, right?
I'm going on a trip for my 30th birthday, and the Blackhawks, as apparently as a present, have decided to play where I'm going to be.
Yes.
That is awesome.
We heard Lauren's going to be there. Well, if you saw the Blackhawks front office reaction to Lauren when we introduced her to the show, you will understand why they immediately, wait, you're going to be in Prague? All right, get a game in Prague!
What week is that? Okay.
I think the Flyers were in town, too. They went to the Flyers. Hey, we're going to Prague!
Just go nail it down now.
It was something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very fond of her when they met her at the front, at the Blackhawks front office. So that's how that goes. Yeah, she's a big fan.
Might have been something with, you know, when I shook one of their hands, we scored a goal. It was just a magic touch.
Yes, that was something. Yeah, that was it. That's exactly what did
magical
it.
Magical moments.
Yeah. So that's what's going on there.
That's very cool.
Yes. All right. And I think tomorrow morning on the Steve Cochran Show, which I'll be appearing on tomorrow morning, as we are going to be out at the Jared Payton Golf Outing.
Yep.
Right.
You and Kev and Cochran and several other members of the WGN radio team and WGN TV team.
Yep.
Joining forces for a very cool cause. It's the foundation, Jared Payton's foundation.
Does amazing work. And we will, and we support him in everything that he wants to do. He's also a good guy.
He is.
Now, this story, which I don't fully understand.
Okay.
Turns out that millennials are nearly three times more likely than baby boomers to believe that coworkers would judge them negatively if they regularly took a lunch break.
Really?
A lunch break.
Says a lot about the hard work and dedication millennials have to their craft.
And yet, 44% of millennials strongly agree that they look forward to their lunch break versus 36% of Gen Xers.
Is Gen Xers the one below?
Above. That'd above. Be me. That'd so be I'm me. Gen Xer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on the Boomer Xer cusp. It's a very painful place to be. Razor sharp. And so you're a full Gen Xer.
I totally am. It's like, I guess what millennials go up to age like 38 now, don't they? 38 roughly.
We're old.
Yeah, you're getting old, the millennials. Yeah. And then the Gen Xers go up from there to the baby boomers.
And Gen Y is where?
Gen Y is after the millennials, and then there's Gen Z, which is little ones right now.
I think we are Gen Y. We just call them.
Gen
Y, right.
Generation.
Right, and then Gen Z starts. Gen Z goes up to what right now?
Gen Z goes up to 19, I guess. 1990s.
Like 24.
Yeah, didn't it start at 2000?
Yeah, mid-2000s is the starting birth years.
For which?
For Gen Z. So that's that next generation coming up after the millennials. So they basically say if you're born like 1995 to 2005, you're a Gen Z.
Really? Only a 10-year span?
Here it is. Gen Z, 1995 to 2015. Millennials, 1980 to 1994. Gen X, 1965 to 1979. Baby Boomer, 1944 to 64.
Okay, so right there I'm on the cusp.
But these generations 64. Are weird because it's like 20-year gaps in some of these, you know? It's like,
right. Yeah,
yeah, I know. So what do we do here? So what's the ones who were born in 2016, who are they? What are they? What gen is that?
Are they still Generation Z?
Well,
Kevin,
the Z, there's nothing after Z. They had to be Generation AA or something now. I don't know what goes on.
It doesn't say here on the little chart I have that I Googled. And
hopefully we'll be done with this stupid conceit by the time that they come along. Well, the millennials, the Generation Y, they don't want to take the lunch break. And this is the thing. It's ruining the liquor industry. Well, that might be an overstatement, but
Can you really drink on your lunch break?
Well, they used to. All right, so I want to
know
go
that
back.
Was okay.
I want to go back to the Greatest Generation when they came back from the war and they went out to, you know, like, you know, like, you know, my parents' generation, when they went to lunch, they got drunk. And when a guy went to his construction job in that era, he had a tall boy or two in his lunch pail, right?
Well, even in the broadcasting industry, it predates me, but I remember they'd have like full bars in the news director's office.
We have a full bar in our office.
Yeah, but this is different because we're into the Knarble wagon, and that's a very important part of the program.
What
that's
do you
totally
think
separate.
I did this for. I made it into a bit so we could keep it.
I know you did. Are you letting out the secrets on the air now?
Well, I mean, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do to me now? 20-something years of this thing, of the Carnarvon.
Anywho,
wagon.
What I'm pointing out is back then, everybody, after the 5 o'clock news, would gather around and have some whiskey or, like, drink something.
Like us after
yeah,
the
like
show.
Yeah, like us after the show. It hasn't really changed for us.
So back the point, in the day, but the just point like is, today,
see, now at
for
lunch,
us.
Now, it'd be weird for us. We can't drink at lunch.
No, we can't. No, yeah. No.
Very rarely has that happened. No. So that's a different situation. But after work, for sure. But but a lot of people, you know, there was a time in America, and I long for this time, where you would go. You do your work in the morning or whatever phony baloney job that you had. I mean, I'm talking about mostly white collar workers here.
Okay.
And then you go to, some restaurant or supper, like lunch club or one of those things. And you'd have a couple of martinis. Martinis were smaller back then. The martini glasses were like half of what they have now. They're not the fishbowl martini glasses. You have like a little martini, at lunch and maybe two or maybe three. And then you go back to work and you have a heart attack and then they call your widow. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be back in the day. Right?
All Mad Men style.
Yeah, right. Mad Men style. Exactly right. There isn't any of that anymore. You're lucky if you're able to go to Protein Bar and have a quinoa and gravel sandwich.
I like
wrap.
Protein
Bar. I'm sorry, not sandwich. Wrap.
It's bowl, a wrap. Probably, because you don't want the carbs.
Right, bowl, right. So it's quinoa, it's some loose gravel, and because, roughage, and in maybe some other, I don't know, what is it, some kind of a sprout.
Or also do like an avocado spinach smoothie or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right?
You can get that there.
And then you get the ones infused with CBD and you're good to go. Now that's
They do have those now.
See, now that's finally the cocktail culture is coming back.
Finally, Rose. Like, so you were worried. Lamenting the loss of cocktails in the world. I didn't know that we had that problem.
Very worried that the cocktail culture was going to go away and we can't have that.
815, I weld for a living 10 hours a day, and some lunch breaks do include a nice Leinenkugel.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. I used to see this
the
guy.
Tall one.
When I first started working in the business, when I was working for Walter Jacobson, we did these perspectives every day.
Oh, gosh,
and we looked for stories.
Of course I remember those.
And my first day on the job, Walter said, just walk outside. Walk around the block. You'll find a story. And he made me go walk around the block and come back with a story.
That's kind of hard for a young person in the business because you're trying to find something big when really there's nothing happening.
So I walked into the White Hen Pantry that was across from CBS at the time. And there was a building being constructed right there as well.
Okay.
And there was a guy going to his job as an iron worker. Union one.
Okay.
Local one. And he was filling up his very large lunch pail with tall boy beers. To go up onto the iron as they're building the building, right?
Like way up there?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, now that is, and I even back then, I was like, because I was so enamored, because, my parents' generation, I was enamored with the idea of the three martini lunch, mm-hmm. even as a young, reporter. And because that was also the thing about City Hall press room. They'd go get snockered at lunch and then come back and report.
Yeah.
That's how they did that. So I kind of knew about that a little bit. I thought, well, this kind of video. Well, look at this guy. This guy's doing it too. So God bless. And then I came back, and Walter's like, "All right, what was the story?" And I'm like, "I didn't see anything out there," and which I did. And that's the funny thing, which was, that would have been a great story, right? These guys going up,
right.
On the,
right. That's the kind of detail
workers.
You were looking for, but you didn't know it yet,
right? Exactly. They shouldn't be drinking at work if you're going to walk on an I-beam that is 12 inches wide. And you're a size 14 boot. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
All right.
But Walter wouldn't have called out the average Joe for something like
oh,
that.
Oh, he did all the
did
time.
Did he?
What do you think those
I
city workers
he was
that
going
were
after the well, but those are that's different. These will be private construction workers.
Well, all
if you
I'm
work
say
for government,
all I'm going to say is I missed the story. And but the point is that everybody was doing it, and now the millennials. That's another thing they've ruined.
Lunch. They're killing lunch.
We didn't ruin it. The bosses, the industry, business as a whole has ruined it. Not us.
Is the whole point of the story that they feel guilty to go to lunch?
Yes, they feel
so because
either
they're bosses or they're coworkers.
Coworkers, bosses, or they just don't have time because they're overworking.
I think it just goes to show our hard work and determination towards our craft.
You guys could, oh, craft.
You guys could learn a thing or two about our drive.
Yeah, your work ethic. All right, hold on a second here. Let's find out from Lauren what's happening. Well, at first from Kim, what's happening in the newsroom.
Most Americans are putting down the remote and picking up their phones.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Millennials also killing the doorbell. Doorbell industry very disturbed that they feel like they have no use for it. Decrease, 600% decrease in doorbell sales over 5 years. Millennials would prefer to send a text message and say, here.
Well, the doorbell was always annoying. Dog starts barking. Everyone gets all rattled. What the hell's going on? Who's here now?
You can ring it a lot of times to annoy someone to get them going.
Like, the ding-dong ditching was fun. The kids are going to miss out on that.
Yeah.
I loved going ding-dong ditching when I was a kid. That was fun.
And now the doorbells are recording you and they're looking at you as well.
Right.
So it's sort of scary.
Exactly.
I don't even like doorbells anymore. I'm kind of afraid of them.
Right. I tape up doorbells now. I go buy rings and I just tape them up.
Okay, bring your duct tape.
As a protest, yeah.
You're like, you won't be looking at me.
Anyway, there's a lot of things have just gone wrong here. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on. Millennials are drinking out of balloons.
I don't understand that at all. Kevin, do you understand this? Lauren?
No, I said. So
and you two
jokes.
Are the millennials.
Yeah.
It's because these reports are so.
Yeah, I know.
No, they're totally true. Are you kidding? Totally
Kim accurate. Gordon has a WGN News in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Blah, 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 blah. That's how that goes.
Are you reading the contest rules again?
Yes. That's right. There's a bunch of other things that have been written here as the introduction, and I'm like, I'm not going there.
I heard a suggestion in the hallways here of WGN Radio. Instead of pucks and prog, why do we call it checks and check? Wouldn't that be good?
That would have been good.
Can't go back now.
No, it's too late. The contest ends tomorrow. But I suggested pucking in Prague.
Yeah, and you put that out there.
Nobody
jumped all over it.
Ran it up the flagpole, and nobody saluted, which I was absolutely shocked by.
You're an idea guy too.
I am.
So you put that out there.
Idea guy.
You thought somebody.
That's what I am. Thank you for saying that. That's
someone would recognize.
Exactly right.
The brilliance.
Yeah,
coming out of here. They don't even take notice.
No. And they'll be sorry. All right. Look, you want to? Can we do this right now? Let's just do this because this is how this
it's
goes.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The governor signed into law his new $40 billion budget. Says he also wants to make sure that the referendum that on the 2020 ballot to increase taxes on the wealthy by having a graduate income tax also clears the referendum in the state of Illinois. People that we would have to vote on it. We may not be voting on it. We'll see.
No.
But this is what
voters.
The governor said.
I feel very confident that the public understands the importance of instituting a fair tax in the state of Illinois. That the fact that people who are wealthier can afford to pay it, people like me should step up to the plate, and that we ought to give some tax relief or at least maintain for middle class and working class people across this state. We need to change the trajectory for the middle class and those striving to get there, and we're doing it. We began to do it this year. There's much more work ahead.
Republicans, you know, pushing back. Jim Durkin was saying today, look, that, you know, he's okay with the balanced budget. I think that was great. We came to an agreement and, you know, there were the new taxes for gas and, you know, parking and license fees. If you smoke another dollar pack, you got some things that people are going to, they're going to affect people.
The smoker, the person's still smoking.
I know. It's like the taxes are more than the cigarettes now.
Oh,
and that's not a joke.
By far.
It's like $7, over $7 just in taxes. But
you'd be a millionaire just to smoke.
I know. It's like, wow, he must be really wealthy. He's got a cigarette in his hand. You can't say, can I bum a cigarette anymore?
No,
because they're like $5 each.
Right. No. I'm sorry. No.
No, but anyway, he's saying that he's wary of the rates that are promised today by lawmakers on that graduated income tax, that they basically, lawmakers would have a blank check to keep fudging those rates. So
yeah.
I'm sure that
this could be a disaster for Illinois. That's the crazy thing about it. I mean, there is no stability in Illinois, and this adds to the instability. And that is not necessarily good, because you do need to keep those people here. People do, and don't necessarily move away, but they move away for 6 months and a day, so they don't have to pay the taxes here. They're really the super rich.
A lot of money pouring into that fight so that voters would approve it in 2020, this graduate income tax, but I think that's going to be a fight. And
yeah.
A lot more details to come, too, because I don't think anyone really understands all of the details yet.
It sounds good. You know, it's a really populist thing. It's like, oh, the rich should be paying for this. And it is by percentage of income, you know, by buying power. The argument always is by buying power, mm-hmm. that people who are making $60,000 a year or $100,000 or family making $100,000 or $120,000, whatever,
right.
which is, you know, those are on the averages, near the averages, the mean numbers mm-hmm. For people in the state of Illinois. Well, why do those people at the average or below the average, you know, have to take such a hit compared to the buying power hit that people making $250,000 or half or $1 million or whatever it is a year? Right?
Right.
That's it. But the cost structure for those people based on where they live, their houses, their things, and the stability that they bring to the economy by providing by buying stuff in the economy is, you know, has its own impact. And that's the thing. People don't stop and, you know, they only want to read the first sentence of the story. And this is, I think, will have a detrimental effect on the economy of Illinois, because business leaders, businesses and rich people are going to somehow be able to get around this. You can't get around a flat, you know, 4.9% or whatever it is right now.
4.95, yeah, if you're over a certain number.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
President is going to be in Ireland tonight at his own golf club, because he can't help but doing a promotional tour while he's president of the United States, and yet nobody cares about that. Not that Barack Obama ever had a golf course, but if he did, believe me, Republicans would have been pretty crazy if Barack Obama kept going back to the Obama course.
Wasn't Trump, as a citizen Trump, calling out Obama for golfing all the time?
Yeah, yes, he was.
This course does a golf.
But wait, this is not, I'm not playing golf, I'm promoting business. My properties. I'm a businessman, that's different. Not a black guy. Which is, I think, how he always looked at Barack Obama.
His golf course is in Doonbeg.
Doonbeg? I'm sorry. You know, but in Gaelic, it's pronounced douchebag. So that's very important.
They're pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Because the N is a sh sound in Gaelic.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Yes. Shillelagh actually is nalele if you're just in the spelling of it. Anyway.
He'll be there.
The president is going to head to France tomorrow, or France, as Johnny Depp would call it, for the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Now, he met with Ireland's prime minister today in Shannon, where they spoke to reporters. The president was asked about the reported execution of North Korea's top negotiator and said,
sir, have you seen those reports of executions in North Korea of the folks who were involved in your summit? Does that worry you at all that Kim would execute these people?
Well, I don't know if the reports are correct, because one of the gentlemen who we deal with is, this is North Korea they're talking about, is somebody that we know well. He's a strong man. He's a strong person. And they like to blame Kim Jong-un immediately, but they said he was killed, and he wasn't. He was at the theater the other night, so he wasn't killed. The other four people I know nothing about, but it's an interesting situation. I think that they would like to make a deal, and we'd like to make a deal with them. We'll see how it goes.
He's defending Kim Jong-un on the precipice of D-Day, right? Yeah. Didn't the civilized world defeat the barbarians at the gate, who were autocrats hell-bent on killing their political enemies? Isn't that what that was all about? Wasn't it taking out Mussolini and Hitler and that whole, and Tojo, and that whole idea that societies are better run by crazed madmen who literally govern at the barrel of a gun. Wasn't that the idea? I know he got asked the question.
He did. He didn't bring it up independently. I've misunderstood that because.
But he could. There's never a question he doesn't want to answer. There is a way to say, you know, we're looking into that. We'll get back to you on that. On this, a very solemn anniversary, right?
Sure.
The 75th anniversary of that incredible day of sacrifice by U.S., British, and Canadian forces on the beaches of Normandy, France.
Mm-hmm.
So let us just be a little thoughtful. God forbid. We'll take now a chance to have Kim tell us what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour.
The University of Illinois is facing a First Amendment lawsuit.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All righty. Top five continues.
Number three.
Award-winning actress Marsha Cross. You know her from Desperate Housewives and
Melrose Place.
All those different shows. She's perhaps best known as an actress, but she was diagnosed a few years ago with anal cancer. After she completed radiation and chemotherapy, she reached out to CBS News, the medical contributor, Dr. John LaPook.
LaWhat?
LaPook.
Cuh, right?
To share her story.
Why do you want to talk about this now?
Because I know that there are people who are ashamed. You have cancer. Do you have to then, like, also feel ashamed? Like you did something bad, you know, because it took up residence in your anus? I mean, come on, really. There's enough on your plate.
I love the way you've embraced the word.
Anus. Yeah. Even for me, it took a while. Anus. You know, you just have to just get used to it.
Wait, there's more. There's more.
You're not used to it yet?
But there's more with LaPook. Yeah.
My girls don't know it, but they're up for their first shot at the end of the school year.
They're 12.
12.
It's been about a year and a half since your diagnosis. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel back to normal, though. It's a new normal. I don't think I'll ever take it for granted. Okay, I'm the girl who goes to the bathroom now, and I go, yes, what you my body can do. I'm so grateful. I'm like, yes.
Oh God. Now, I mentioned this earlier when we were on the web. I might as well mention it again because now this is a story that has garnered national attention. People Magazine, the top trending story 2 hours ago on Apple News.
A push notification, in fact.
Yes. From People Magazine, Marsha Cross learned her anal cancer, likely caused by same HPV strain as husband's throat cancer.
I heard you screaming and you were looking at your phone. I was like, what's going on?
As Marsha Cross's husband, or is it ex-husband, whatever he is.
I think husband.
Husband? Still, sure. They're still married? How'd you like to be out having dinner tonight with your friend and your friend sitting at the table?
He's not ordering salad, that's for sure.
Yeah. How about that? Because they're like, oh, God. Oh, I just... That took a second.
Yeah.
The
mind goes in weird places. Yeah. It's too much... Things are connected there that don't need to be. And just...
You just never want... You just, you know, those two body parts.
No.
You know, the throat I don't have a lot of confusion there.
They do say it's same exact type of HPV, both of their cancers. So that we know for sure.
Although the throat is just the beginning of the other part anyway. It's just one long tube, isn't it?
And thought of it that way.
Beginning and the end.
Yeah, exactly. Alpha and Omega. Time now to move on to
number two.
The long wait for footage from James Gray's Ad Astra, which is Brad Pitt. What? Look, come on now. Can you grow up for a second, Kevin? Kevin! this is a movie. This is a very important movie. Brad Pitt plays an army engineer who's looking for his lost father on Neptune.
What can you tell us about the LEMA project?
Its objective was to search for advanced extraterrestrial life. The ship disappeared approximately 16 years into the mission.
And the commander was?
He was my father, sir.
This might come as quite a shock to you. Your father was experimenting with a highly classified material that could threaten our entire solar system. All life would be destroyed. We're counting on you to find out what's happening out there.
Okay.
A journey to Uranus? Is that what he said?
No, it's actually to...
Neptune.
Neptune, which is right next to Uranus, next door.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the other one. Try not to confuse the two, because it can be very, very embarrassing. All right. Anyway, the point is...
I don't know. It's
just... I'm having flashbacks to fifth grade.
I know.
Where's the teacher when you need
her? Is... The point is...
You need somebody with a stick going, now, boys.
Right. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Somebody's going to the principal's office.
Anyway, the point is, it's a very important film.
Move their desks. Those two can't interact anymore.
Number one.
Pop star Kesha is questioning what the world would be like if it was not ruled by rich, straight, white men. She's upset about that. Her newest song... has been posted on the YouTube, which is owned by rich, straight, white men, shows her repeatedly giving the finger to rich, straight, white men.
What if rich, white, straight men didn't rule the world anymore?
If you're from another land and come here, you won't have to climb a wall.
Yes, you will!
If you are a boy who loves a boy, you'll get a wedding cake and all.
Not in Colorado.
If you are a lady and you do your lady work, then you will make as many dollars as the boys, not just two-thirds. Touching!
That's not going to be a hit. I would like to just promise you that it's not about the... And then she'll complain that it's because it's very controversial. No. It's just... It's basically a Nazi march song is what it is.
I heard like Willy Wonka musical, but with social lyrics. Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, she's had a rough experience in the music world, and we all know about that.
By the way, you know how I have to fill out a log for everything we talk about here?
Yeah, what are you going to log this in as?
Astrophysics is what I'm going to put down for this. All right, that's it. Gotta go. Keep moving.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news being brought to you by Joint Relief Institute. Rokan Joe with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGNR. One of the stories that is really getting a lot of attention today around the country is this the story of the Dominican Republic. An American tourist and then an American tourist couple check into a resort in the Dominican Republic, and both the individual and the couple are dead before nightfall.
Right.
How did this happen? Jackie Heinrich from Fox News is joining us right now. And Jackie, thanks so much for being with us. First of all, let's set this up. These are the individual and the couple. We're not traveling together, right?
So the woman, the first person to die, she was a 41-year-old lady from Allentown, Pennsylvania. She was there with her husband celebrating their wedding anniversary. Coincidentally, the day that she passed away was the same day that this other couple checked in. That was the only connection that they had whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman...
But not known to each other. That's the important piece.
Not known to each other. Okay. No. And we spoke to her family members. She's the family her family's the one we've been able to reach. Her brother-in-law explained it this way, and this is what her husband witnessed. She took a drink from the minibar, stood up suddenly and was shrieking, and then collapsed. Her husband called 911 or called paramedics through the hotel.
Right.
They came, tried to revive her. They used an EpiPen. She was already gone. That was on May 25th. And then 5 days later, the other couple who had been staying there since the 25th when they checked in, their bodies were found in their hotel room. An employee found them because they failed to check out. They missed their checkout time. Employee went to go check on them and found their bodies as well. The strange connection here is three American tourists, same hotel, span of 5 days, but the real kicker here is the cause of death is the same in all these cases. Respiratory failure and pulmonary edema, which is fluid in the lungs. What the families don't know, what investigators don't yet know, is how the fluid got there. So they've got the same cause of death, but they're not sure what caused them to all have fluid build up in their lungs. In this situation with the couple, it's very random to have two people die of the same cause at the same time in the same room, right, and not have there be some kind of a connection. So we're waiting on answers there. We did speak to an expert who says that probably needed tests for something like carbon monoxide.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the mini bar. I'm imagining they're following that as a potential lead. There might have been something in that. Was there any indication that the couple also had taken things out of a mini bar?
No, the only thing that we know about the couple's death is police said they found several bottles of blood pressure medication in that deceased couple's room. And then the hotel suggested that the heart problems might have also been a factor in the death of this other woman because her husband had an interview with Dominican authorities. He did mention that she had at one point had a heart condition, but her family says this was 15 years ago. She had, I believe it was myocarditis, inflammation around the heart. It wouldn't have caused this to happen to her. She had been long since medically cleared. So the family was saying, you know, any kind of connection that the hotel or Dominican authorities are trying to draw between the blood pressure medications and found in the one couple's room and the other woman who, you know, died of the same cause really probably isn't a connection there. The doctor that we spoke with, Michael Bodden, he's a board certified forensic pathologist. You might know him from the HBO show Autopsy.
Right.
And he says in the case of the one woman who died in the room with her husband, who witnessed it, that could have been anything. We don't know without seeing the final toxicology results what happened to her. But with the couple, the other people who were found dead, this Maryland couple, engaged folks, that's a little bit stranger. And so it's, you know, having folks raise an eyebrow, take a closer look at what might have happened here and see if there's any link between all of these deaths.
Right.
Particularly, as you point out, they both died, you know, together pretty much of similar symptoms.
Right.
And how does that happen?
That has to be,
one has a heart problem, both of them have the exact same one?
More likely, you know, the Occam's razor here, the more likely answer would be that it was either you know, environmental, right?
Mm-hmm.
Foul play of some sort, poison, or as you mentioned, carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide would be fairly simple to test for, though. I would imagine that if that were happening there, it would be happening in other parts of the hotel. And the mini bar piece certainly is a freak out. You know, I don't know. It's like
it is. It's very alarming. I mean, of course, everyone thinks of that. You know, the question in your mind, am I going to the mini bar in my hotel and do I dare risk it? I don't know that I would want people to really focus on that detail. I mean, of course, it's the horrifying last image that this husband has of his wife of 10 years and, of course, cause for folks to look at that. But without knowing the full toxicology results, she may have had, you know, a heart condition, or she might have had some other kind of condition that was triggered by something that she ate or drank. And then in the case with the folks in the other room, perhaps a generator, you know, exhaust isolated that room, and there were two different situations that happened, just freaky at the same, you know, same hotel, 1 week apart. We really don't know, but of course, this is all 4 months or so after another woman was beaten, she claims, at another hotel in the Dominican Republic. Now, careful to not draw too many lines between the two cases, or the three cases rather, because that woman, as we've found out recently, not at all to raise an eyebrow at her, what she says happened to her, but she did ask for a $2.2 million compensation before going public with her story, happened at a different hotel. So I would just say, for folks who are worried about the Dominican Republic, the best thing you can do is look at the State Department, the travel advisory.
Right.
They have been warning Americans to use extra caution because of the risk of violent crime. Back in April, they renewed a level 2 travel advisory. So it's been that way for a little while, and you're, you know, got to be extra vigilant to make sure that you don't get robbed. You know, there are cases where people have been raped and violent crime happens. So.
Right, and I mean, that's international travel, domestic travel, for that matter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it can happen. But international travel, always there's always a risk somewhere. And it does seem that this particular case, though, has drawn a lot of attention that, Jack, you've been reporting on, because it's because it is so unusual to have Americans die overseas in a, you know, the same resort, essentially.
Right. And it's a luxury resort.
Yeah.
The Bahia Principe Hotel in La Romana, they did issue a statement expressing their condolences to the family, working with authorities. And the State Department is monitoring that investigation. I know that in the case of Miranda Schoep-Werner, the woman from Pennsylvania, her family is trying to have her body brought here for additional testing. We've not been able to speak to the families of the other two folks. Their names, I can pull them up here for you because they should be mentioned
as
well.
Cynthia and Day, Daniel, and Nathaniel Edward Holmes.
Edward Nathaniel Holmes and Cynthia Day, correct. So, yeah, they, of course, their families are going to be looking for some answers, too.
All right. Jackie, thanks so much. Boy. Appreciate it. Jackie Heinrich from Fox News Channel.
Thanks for having me, Rodana.
Thanks.
Sure. Thank you for being on. What a troubling story.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's so weird. It's like, how can you have these mysterious, all three of those mysterious deaths within 5 days of each other at the same resort? Very unusual. And the woman who was beaten up, I know that it's made headlines that she requested that $2.2 million payout, which created some speculation about her story. But if you see the pictures of her, she was beaten beyond recognition. It's not as if, you know, this is like a slip and fall and let me sue the hotel. Something really violent happened to her.
All right. Well, this is it's always something, you know, to think about when you're traveling overseas. The State Department website is particularly good.
They've taken notice.
It's a little like WebMD, though. You know, if you read it too much,
I can't go there or
yeah,
there.
You immediately, you know, get freaked out by things. Uh-huh. But it's like anything. You know, when you go somewhere, you got to always think about, even to nice resorts around the world, the rules of engagement the legal consequences are very different depending on the country that you're in, right? In the United States, you know, people complain about lawyers and lawsuits and things like that. You know, like, these lawyers are always suing people. Well, that's actually been pretty good for consumers in America, right? Mm-hmm. Consumers can expect, whether you're at a hotel or you're buying food in a grocery store or whatever it is, that safety is an important ethic for the people providing the service.
Sure.
And that is, you don't necessarily get that in other parts of the world. It's just something to always think about. But there's also the excitement of being overseas and surviving it. That's the way I always look at it.
I made it. Yes, that's how I look at vacation.
Right, exactly.
I came home alive.
Yes.
What a great vacation.
Then you brag to your friends. Oh, I just happened to have been in the Dominican Republic, you know, where people are dying left and right. You know, so there is.
I made it out.
Yeah. It's a thing.
That's sad.
Right. But that is the case. All right, let's do this. Check in with Kim, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
If you're nuts for Nutella, we're spreading some good news.
You know what I like about that clip?
What?
That little 9-year-old who suggested that the key to success in hockey is to score more goals than your opponent.
I thought that was very wise.
That's exactly what I told Coach Colleton.
You did. His like first week on the job when we interviewed him, you said, here's a little tip, tip from Ro.
What you need to do is you guys need to score more goals by the end of the game than who you're playing.
And I feel like once that message really set in with the team, I mean, they played really well down the stretch.
Right. And Jeremy thanked me for that suggestion. And he did look at me sternly, shook my hand and said, I'd never thought of that before. Thank you so much. So I appreciated that.
Did you mention anything about defense, too, or you just talked goals?
I said goals, and then he immediately said security, and then somehow I was separated from him, and he went away.
Did you steal the idea from the girl?
Oh!
That clearly happened first.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there. All right. Fine. Whatever. Whatevs, you people.
Defensive. See, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Steal the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was. It's a. I think it's an absolutely brilliant thing. All right. So yesterday we were talking about Cameo. Coming up in a little bit, Ryan Lochte is on Cameo. That's that service that It's an app that you can go on to, and you can purchase celebrities leaving messages for you.
Yeah, it's like personalized messages, a birthday or well wishes, or yeah. You just have like one of the Real Housewives wish your friend a happy birthday or congratulations.
Yes, things
and they,
like that.
You kind of give them personal stuff to say.
And we were talking about this because I got recruited to go on a Cameo by a guy, and I did. And then yesterday, the great Jeff Garlin was in studio with us and said that I am a complete loser for being on Cameo.
He said, get off of it. And I thought that was wrong.
and that it's the lowest. It shows that you no longer have faith in your own talent. And so I'm a little conflicted. So we started looking at some of the things that are on Cameo, and Ryan Lochte popped up, and I think we're gonna have on it. Yes, well, we're gonna have wait to hear what he does on it. And we learned from Jeff Garland that he will often pay for celebrities to read ridiculous things, and
like
then he
fake
posts
cameos.
Right. Well, no, they're real cameos,
but they're for people that don't exist.
Right.
He's trolling them.
But he's trolling them, and he makes them, for whatever they're, for, you know, $20, a message, he makes them say ridiculous things.
Like, tell grandma to stop eating chicken, I think was his example.
Yeah.
She doesn't need the chicken. Stop the chicken.
So there was a, and then he puts that up on Instagram. Well, we found some that, and our other friend, Gilbert Gottfried, did, that he probably shouldn't have done.
Oh, gee. Carson Kressley is on it. Perez Hilton. You've got a lot of the Real Housewives, YouTube stars.
Are the Kardashians on it?
No, I don't think so. No. Mm-mm. Huh? No, they are not. Michael Rapaport, Andy Dick. You got a lot of those types.
See, it's
got Holly Madison and like the Girls Next Door.
These are all people whose reality shows failed.
You
just mentioned all these people who no longer, have shows on E!
Oh, one of our favorites, Jim O'Hare. He's a Chicago one. He's on it.
Well, I'm going to go with the Jim O'Hare rule. That like as a Chicagoan, if Grandma wants a birthday message, I'll do it.
You know who's on it? Two of the Sharks, Mr. Wonderful, and then one other guy. So those dudes know something about making some cheddar.
Yeah, if they're doing it,
I was hoping it was left and right shark from the Super Bowl. That would have been better.
Yeah. Right.
They probably are on left it. Shark. He's probably a little costlier.
Yeah, I think they charge like $1,000.
Oh, see, one of the Real Housewives is making like real money doing this. Gets up in the morning, does like 10 of these, $500 to $1,000 each, and that's that's doing it for her.
That would do it. Yes, that would be really good. Which one does that?
I could find out for you. I don't want to misspeak, but there is one because I know the person who started Cameo, and there are a lot of success stories. There's some Raquan Smith is on it. Looking at this. Brett Favre.
Favre got tricked into doing something bad.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
for a white nationalist group because it was code. He didn't realize.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. That one didn't work out well.
All right. Who are we congratulating again? Kim. And where's Kim?
Franklin Park.
There
congrats,
she is.
Kim.
Kim in Franklin Park. There you go. Congratulations to you. And you are now qualified for Pucks and Prague. You might be going to Prague. There might be some pucking in Prague for you. That'll be great.
Or checks and check.
Yes. And you're also qualified to get the other prize package too, which is amazing. But that script I destroyed, so I no longer have it. I can't tell you what it is. But it's all kinds of things, including coming out to the big convention and seeing us out there.
Nice.
That's just coming. What is that? That's a few weeks away now, right? Isn't it January? July?
Mm-hmm.
Not January. That'd be a bad time to have it. July? All right. Okay. Listen, tomorrow at 7:40 a.m. as Steve Cochran will be... After 7:40, you'll be playing a clip, and then that'll be your last chance to qualify, I believe, right?
Yeah, we're going to, from the producer, Jeff Garlin.
There we go. Thank you.
Says yes.
No relation to Jeff Garlin.
Nope.
Spelled
they made that clear yesterday when they met.
All right, we have got Kim Gordon's news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way right around the corner.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. All right, he's back. Alexander Panko. I'm going to call him Alex just because
I
can. Friend of the show.
He is.
Been on a number of times, just on last week. Just got back from Everest, and boy, are his arms tired, and his legs, for that matter. He is one short of the Explorer's Grand Slam, which he's, let's see now, I want to just figure this out. You need 7 summits total. You've done 6 summits. You've done the North Pole, the South Pole, right? What do I have there?
Yeah.
What do I need to, what do
he
I?
He says yes.
He just finished on Everest a couple of weeks ago, just returned here, and you've got 1 left. What do you have left?
Just Denali.
Just Denali. Hold on. I got that. Now I got it worked out for you.
Okay.
There you go. Which is in the United States of America, sort of, because it's, you know, it's Alaska, it's up there, it's in the, you know, it's it's a 6-hour flight, but you're good, right? And then at what point are you going to be able to do this?
So we're hoping to summit, probably it's normally a 2 to 3 week climb. Hopefully with good weather we can get up there sooner. Quite frankly, I'm really, really ready to get this done and enjoy summertime Chicago.
Aren't you tired now? After all this? By the way, if you want to play News or Ruse and you want to be with Alex, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I would imagine Everest takes everything out of you.
Pretty tired, but acclimated. So the one advantage there is the 20,000 feet, which is Denali won't feel like 20,000 feet to me compared to the other team members. Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted, but I'm also really excited to get this done and feeling good about it. I'll push through mentally.
All right. That's all I got.
Because that's
do.
The hardest part you explained to us.
Yeah, you know, it's way more mental than physical. I mean, seriously, do you know, reading about, for example, the Cubs go on this crazy win streak, you know, after the rough start to the year.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and my friends are saying how good the Cubs are, and all I want to do is be at Wrigley Field with a beer in my hand. And certainly not at a 10-team. I'm eating a freeze-dried meal. They're awful. So I really have missed Chicago. I'm so excited to be back in the greatest city in the summer.
It is.
And when did you start this?
I started in 2016. I was supposed to go for Killy in October, but the Cubs were in the World Series. So I just ate my trip deposit and went a month later.
Uh-huh. So now this is... all right. So I just want to go through this again. And let's explain also. You do this to raise money for Lurie's Children's Hospital, right? Which saved your life.
Right. So, you know, when I first started doing it, I needed a challenge in my life, something totally different. I didn't think I could do this. And I would say to anyone, the lesson I've taken away from this is don't be afraid to invest in yourself and take chances. Even if I didn't summit Everest, what I've summited, I never thought I could. So I started doing it just to do it. And then I started to get attention for it. I read about these amazing people who have done it for amazing causes. And it was very clear to me, I'm very close with Lurie Children's, to do it for Lurie Children's pediatric brain tumor research. I had one as a kid. We're closing in on $500,000. So for the listeners out there, we've done this all grassroots, which has been incredible. We're so close. And when you want to ask me about it, I have the latest climb dedicated. So we can certainly talk about that.
Yeah, we'll mention that and then we'll play News or Ruse.
That sounds good. So, you know, every single climb I've done has been dedicated to a current or former patient. And I was on the Facebook page of Lurie's. It was a pediatric brain tumor awareness month this May. And I read about a girl named Abby. And she had a brain tumor. And she was talking about how energetic she was. She rides horses. She goes skiing. And I said, let's get in touch with this girl. Let's dedicate it to her. And then my heart dropped. Because the next paragraph was not what I wanted to hear, that she'd passed away in 2015.
How old was she?
She would have been in her teens. 15. And so my heart just dropped when I read that, but I still said I want to reach out to this family. I want to dedicate it to her because she had such a love of life and such an energy, and I wanted to celebrate that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you do things I would never do. That's why I make fun of people who get on top of Everest. Because I could never do it. How long did it take you?
It was a 2-month climb. We'll see about that. Definitely celebrity, Chicago celebrity Kilimanjaro climb one day. Yes?
Kilimanjaro. Is that the lowest of all the summits?
It's the lowest of the 7, but let me tell you something. There is still something about standing on the roof of Africa that is very, very Hemingway. And you get to go safari afterwards.
See, well, that's a good thing. Hemingway, with the exception of the shotgun in the mouth part, I love everything else he did.
Can you get a Manhattan at base camp, though? I remember
Sure.
Can you do that?
Yeah. You know, they now have instant powder mixers, but I do not drink at base camp. I'm very eager when I'm down to drink. You do not want to drink at 17,500 feet. It is a very, very bad hangover.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not good at sea level either. All right, so, but I did hear this. maybe 10 years ago, I interviewed a guy who had also summited at Everest. And he said at base camp, they drink beer at base camp because they don't want to eat anything that potentially could be not properly prepared, or they could get them sick as they move forward. Had you heard that? Have you seen that?
I wouldn't drink beer to avoid it, so to speak. There's plenty of other alternatives.
Well, that's what this guy did. He still got on there. I don't know.
For him.
He's my hero. But there is a concern about that.
No,
right?
So I actually, I almost thought my summit bid was over. On our second rotation, I was going through the icefall, the most dangerous part of the climb, which is the bottom. And my stomach, I just said, oh boy, this is not good. My energy levels went down. Instantly. And a stomach bug up there can end a trip. You have to realize you don't have the immune system and your body's already struggling. So, no, one unprepared meal, you avoid trekkers. Hygiene and being healthy is a huge part of getting up Everest.
That's the way I look at it. All right. Although I've never looked at it before. Let's play News or Ruse, shall we? Here we go. Let's meet our contestants. We have got Andrea playing with Kim, Tina playing with Lauren, and George playing with Alex. Andrea, you there?
Yes.
All right. Somebody's in a wind tunnel.
On the radio.
Wait. Tina, pay attention.
What? Sorry.
You're on the radio.
I'm on the radio, baby.
Oh, boy. Here we go. This is really
be interesting.
I'm a little wired.
Yeah. And, George, I don't know who's standing outside in the wind. Who is it?
Is that me with the... I got the vent on my car, air conditioning.
All right, turn that off. My God, you're playing for important things. Hold on, let me tell you what you're playing
Focus,
for.
Focus, people.
All right, the winner is going to get a $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, and carpet cleaning. Call 805-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And a never measure, easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need for measuring tape or to calculate fractions. Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. The runners-up get a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep-dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Here we go. Andrea and Kim, here is your headline.
Already.
Swimming pool bans men from using hair dryers on their nether regions.
Oh, Jake, I can't do that. That's...
Andrea?
What do you think? I believe it, but you know what? Anything can happen. What do you
news
think,
or ruse?
Okay. I'm going news.
Where is it at?
It doesn't say.
Some pool.
Swimming pool.
Like Darth Vader being on
that's
the...
That's true.
I think it's news, too.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, you got it. Way to go.
Very well.
Tina and Lauren, here is your headline. Prison sentence for man who shot at fireflies he thought were alien lasers.
That had to be in Florida.
Yes, if it's true, definitely. I agree with you, Tina. Do you think it's true?
Surely not.
Okay,
you might have been a little high, too. You never know.
All right, there you go. That is correct.
Well done. Doesn't say
George, the odds say ours isn't true at this point.
Oh, interesting. George and Alex, here's your headline. Orlando paraplegic climber returns key to city after evidence of faked summit photos surface.
What do you think?
George, I'm actually going to go with, I think this is rigged for me. I'm going to go with, if I'm wrong, this is going to be awful.
Yes.
I'm going to go with false, but you guess.
Ruse.
There you go.
Well,
he
done.
Saw right through it. This man knows how to get on top of Everest, so he knows what he's doing
right
there.
He would have heard about something like that, I think.
Yes, that's true.
Sure.
Round two, here we go.
Andrea and Kim, Sarasota's famous Weary Willie the Clown mural to be demolished after a heated council meeting ends in cream pie, comma, tears.
Well, it's Florida, so we know anything can happen. I'm thinking news.
I'm going to go, Ruse.
Okay.
That is very well done.
Way to call it out,
very
Andrea.
Very well done. All right, here we go. Tina and Lauren, here's your headline. English horse and its terrible owner denied entry to McDonald's.
English what?
Horse.
English horse. And terrible owner. Again, one of those crazy enough to be true stories. What do you think, Tina?
I'll go with true.
Okay, news.
Oh,
you got it.
Wow.
Has anybody missed? This is
no,
crazy.
No, they haven't.
George and Alex, here you go. Florida thief tries to open ATM with blowtorch, seals it instead.
I'm going to let you go with this, but I think I know what I think.
Well, you're what do you think, Dylan?
I think you got the natural thought. Go do it.
It's Florida, so that doesn't surprise me. I'm only skeptical about the sealing it part.
I need an answer. News
Come on, George, you go.
No, you do it.
I'm going to go with, I think it's going to be false, but I'm going to go true.
There you go.
You got it.
There you go. Wow.
Hey.
Wow, that's a big one right there.
All right.
We'll come back for round three. It's going to be a heated one here.
Yes.
Very, very heated. A lot of things going on. So stay right here. Everybody, don't move. Why don't you tell us, Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Governor Pritzker taking a victory lap today while signing the 2020 budget.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. We return to News or Ruse.
Yes. No one has gotten one wrong.
Alex Panko is with us. He is our celebrity. He just recently summited. He was on the show last week. He just recently summited Mount Everest on his trek to summit all seven of the peaks around the world and the North and South Pole, which would make him, I don't know, something. I don't know what that gives you. How many people in the world have done all of that?
Ski the Last Degree, which is a version of the Grand Slam. I'm doing 45 people in the world, 15 Americans.
How about that? Right, and he does it to raise money for Lurie Children's Hospital. What's your website for all of that?
It's peaksofmind.org, and like I said, it's a grassroots effort, so there is no such thing as too small of a donation. We've gotten there from small donations.
Peaksofmind.org.
Peaks of Mind.
Peaks
it's
of Mind.
It's a play on Peace of Mind.
Got
Peaks.
It. Peaksofmind.org. All right. Got it. Go there immediately. All right, here we go. Everything is tied up. We are in the Orion Samuelson round. Here we go. Andrea and Kim, here's your headline.
Florida congressman is the first U.S. politician to be milkshaked.
What's with the cream pies and the milkshakes?
Oh, God. Kevin was writing this week.
I'm thinking the other one was ruse, so I'm thinking this one's news, but
I'll go with you, Kim.
Okay.
Oh, good. Way to go.
Excellent well job.
Done.
Thank you.
Well done. All right, here we go. Tina and Lauren, here's your headline.
Okay. Canadian safe sealed for 40 years until a museum visitor spins the dial.
Oh, man. Well, I wanted to say ruse because we haven't had a ruse yet, but I don't know. What do you think, Tina?
Well, I would have thought somebody would have tried to spin the dial before that.
Also true.
Here's a ruse.
How about ruse? You want to go ruse?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right there.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Hold on. All right. Wait. Watch your mouth. All right. George and Alex, this is to stay in it. Otherwise, Andrea and Kim, take the prize. Here is your headline.
Amsterdam mayor congratulates Illinois governor with brownie delivery.
I don't think so. It hasn't hit yet.
You know, it would make sense, but I'm going to go with you. You lead on there. We're going to say ruse.
There you go.
Wow.
That is
pretty
very
incredible.
Well done. All right, we're going to try
one
lightning round right here between Andrea and Kim and George and Alex. Andrea and Kim, here is your headline. Americans spend roughly the same amount on legal weed and Taco Bell.
Oh, well, they're hand in hand, don't you think? I mean, I think it's news.
God.
What do you think?
Okay, Kim, I'm going with you.
Right. News
we
it is.
We did it. George and Alex, here's your headline. Parrot taken into custody after warning owners of police raid in Brazil.
That's just hysterical, but you're going to have to lead here because I just have no idea.
News.
News? Yes!
Ruse!
Oh, George! He took it off the board! God, I hope you do better at Denali than this.
No,
all right, God. No, you didn't. All right, we're going to check the tape. All right, hold on. There we go. Everybody's got to hold on. I don't know what goes on here anymore. All right, well, congratulations, Alex.
Thank you.
On everything you've done, and we'll talk to you when you get back from Denali.
I appreciate it.
Come
and
visit
great,
us.
Great.
What
to,
will you
great
do next in your world?
You know, I don't know. My girlfriend,
right
there behind us, probably would like me to chill for a bit. So,
would you like him to chill for a bit?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, she says.
We'll say that's what's going to happen. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
Well, she's a climber, too. You did one of them, right? Didn't she do one of the peaks or no? No? Yeah.
Kilimanjaro.
How about that?
Actually, Alex just asked me to go to Kilimanjaro with him.
I know, but are you going to go?
I got that thing.
Yeah, you know. I can't
remember,
imagine you
got
doing
that thing.
That.
I got that commitment.
It would just interrupt your whole lifestyle.
Well, what are you doing in the next year?
Well, I got the thing. But, yeah. I will not say no to you completely. I may go to Kilimanjaro. I'll just sit at base camp and I'll do a whole Hemingway kind of thing.
You can start the Carnarvon wagon at base camp.
Yeah, I would do that. Maybe, you know, look at a lion or something.
Just imagine you,
by.
Vince, John Cusack, Chicago celebrities, and a great crew.
Oh God!
You could raise money for a cause, bro. I'd sponsor you.
Yes. Okay. Thanks very much. All right. Thanks so much, Alex. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks,
Alex.
Great luck on Denali. Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace brings you Kim Gordon's news. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. I'm very confused about everything.
So, scheduling issue here.
First of all, I want to point out that we were talking about, we were making fun of millennials earlier and the drinking. And it is, you know, it's after 6:30 now, and because of the White Sox, we have been getting off at 6:30 and starting the drinking right there. So I'm a little thirsty. That's the first thing I'd like to say. But millennials have now ruined even the drinking.
They have.
Now, how is this possible? You might ask. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this trend? The balloon. You can actually drink out of a balloon. It is a gaseous alcohol that is placed into a balloon. And then you are served the balloon for $8. And then you inhale out of the balloon. And then it's like a 2.5 shot equivalent of alcohol in this $8 balloon.
That sounds terrible.
I think it's just an innovative way to up the drinking game.
Yeah, I feel like drinking vapor isn't new. They just decided to put it in a balloon.
I have a picture of the balloon. I know this is radio. This doesn't really help you very much. It's an alcohol mist, and then they give you the balloon, and you got to hold it. Now, what happens if, like, because this would happen to me. I would let go of the balloon, and then it would, you know, and then you're done, and you're like, oh, now what happens?
Can I have my $8 back, please? I need another balloon.
I didn't get my vapors.
It's the equivalent of spilling a drink.
Party foul.
Now, this is so the vapor, I guess it's been around, right? That has been around. Has anybody done that? Have you millennials done that?
No. What?
The vapor?
Yeah, I've tried the vapor.
And is it, what does it do for you?
I mean, it's just, I guess, a way people get, like, you know, their nicotine fix, but without smoking. Are you talking about the weed vaping or tobacco vaping?
Tobacco vaping.
Yeah. I thought you meant drinking. No, they actually have, like, vapor drinking, even around here. Like,
oh, don't
drinks.
Yell. Don't start. Don't get, you know, don't
God,
get hot.
How do you not know this?
You should know everything about drinking.
Yes, I do. No, but this is the vaping of the alcohol itself.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Okay. Oh, we got that part. But Kevin was confused.
Yeah, I was confused.
Yeah. So you did. And is this by balloon? Have you done that before?
I have not done the balloon.
No, I'm Lauren. Have you done that before?
No, I haven't had any kind of
alcohol ever.
Balloon delivery service.
All right.
I just don't get it, though. So why does it have to be in a balloon? Just because then that's a personal way of delivering it to you? Or it was just sort of a thing?
As opposed to, well, how else would you contain it?
Well, just the way Lauren's describing it. What do you do? Isn't it
like
the hook lounge or something? Like those kind of things?
I think it's something along the line. Obviously, they have it captured in something, so it's not just out in the open. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, that would be dumb. Although, I think that would be good in casinos, right? Just to sort of let that stuff out so everybody's a little drunk. What is the... That doesn't seem, like, safe. I don't know.
This seems very dangerous.
Yeah. Like, I'm not so worried about my liver as much as I am about, you know, my lungs, I
right.
guess.
Like the whippet thing. That's it. You look like you're walking around with a balloon, inhaling a balloon. People are going to ask questions.
What is he doing?
Is he just ripping a balloon?
And then you have to like hold on to it. Because I'm never good at that. You got to hold the little nubbly part at the end of the balloon hole.
And if you don't.
And then in your teeth while you're kind of letting your fingers go. And then inhaling out of a balloon. I know how to inhale into a balloon. I'm not sure I want to inhale out of a balloon. You know, I don't want it coming the other way.
I guess this is a way to get the alcohol in your bloodstream quickly.
Yeah, really. Really? Well, is that what you think?
Well, that's what they're pitching here. That's the whole idea of this, I guess. You asked why anyone would do this. That's the appeal, I guess. You get drunk faster.
I guess for $8, it's like 2.5 drinks is the idea. And then whatever, because it's going to hit your bloodstream differently.
Right.
All right. Again, ruining drinking. You know, drinking, as I pointed out earlier, because we started this conversation with the fact that millennials have done away, personally or statistically killed, the three martini lunch, which even though we can't have because we got to be on the air, and there are still some rules, not many, but there are some that I abide by. That's a no-no for us. But for business people, you know, to go out and have a couple cocktails at lunch and then come back and fall asleep at their desk, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's, you know, we talk about how efficient the economy is. I mean, why not take advantage of the efficiency of it and, you know, put your feet up on your desk?
Yeah, and who cares if you get fired, because the unemployment rate is so low, you'll probably bounce back on your feet, no problem.
Right, and another job that's even more. That's exactly what the president said. You're fine. Get fired. There's another job right around the corner. And if worse comes worse, you drive Uber. Don't drink on that job.
Bring back martini lunches.
Yes. The little martinis. That's the problem.
Did they have little martinis?
Oh, sure.
Like,
have you ever seen, I don't know, like my parents had these, the martini glasses. They're tiny. Like the martini itself is, like you go to, let's say, Gibson's, right? Gibson's, I will never forget when they, like the martini up, they were the first ones to do that gigantic, they call it the fishbowl, of martini. And I think that's like 8 ounces. Of liquid in there.
Wow.
Which was mostly just vodka poured into the glass. It had already been chilled. And it was very hard to survive. When the whole martini craze that came back in the 80s into the 90s, really, but it was like centered in the 90s, that was done. You know, that was like, everybody, excess was the point. So the idea was they could charge you, you know, $8-9 for a drink, where it used to be, you know, $4 for a martini, because a martini was a tiny little, like maybe 2 ounce glass, 3 ounce glass.
That's probably what it should be.
Right. That is probably what it should be. And you bring that back and that's fine. And then you're good. You have 8 or 9 of those before you go back to work and you're good. So you could, I mean, think about this. If it's a 3 ounce glass and you could have 3 of those or 1 of the big, like, you know, Gibson's Harry Carey's type martini.
Alcohol math with Roe is fun.
I know,
like this.
I love it.
He's got it all.
Justification
figured out.
Is great too.
Oh, you got the little thing.
Little ones.
Yeah, the little
one. I
only
had 3 little martinis at lunch.
I was out with my cousins, and you know, it was a celebration of life, and we decided to, we went to, you know, one of these fancy hotel bars around here, and we had the, and I had a Manhattan up, and the Manhattan up was like 3 ounces of Manhattan, and I'm like, hey.
That wasn't enough.
I immediately called that Burness guy at the Better Business Bureau.
Tip off to the river,
right, and I complained that my Manhattan wasn't big enough.
Steve Burness, please.
He's on it.
I'm at the hotel bar.
I'm calling the Better Business Bureau right now.
This is some scam.
But actually, the truth is that it was so much better because it was so easy, you know, to. Like, you know,
just kind of sip it, enjoy
yeah, sip it,
and not
enjoy
be like
right.
on your mind after,
and not feel like you're gonna die.
Seeing that, this kind of surprises me. The stats show that millennials are spending less on alcohol than previous generations, and so they're actually trying to market wellness alcohol drinks. I don't know how that works, but wellness alcohol drinks to millennials, like wellness beers and wellness other things.
What's a wellness beer?
I guess they're saying that you
Miller Lite, great taste, less filling. Spelled different because
I don't think that I don't think beer in its, I mean, in not in excess is bad for you.
Couple beers here, couple beers there.
Do you like beer?
I like beer. All right, hold on. I'm being told something.
Okay.
I'm being told something very important.
Oh. Okay. This just in.
The Jussie Smollett 911 tape has just been released.
Whoa.
We have it.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Stay right here.
Take your
Let's
heart
find
lives.
Out from Jen DeSalvo what's coming in the news at the top of the hour, and then we'll play it for you. All right, it's Roe Contra with Anna DeBlantis, and we have the Jussie Smollett 911 call has been released. It's actually not, as you'll recall, Jussie never called 911. This is his manager calling 911.
Right.
And I find it very interesting that these are now being released. This is, I don't know if this is an FOI request by...
It is. It's a Freedom of Information Act request from different news organizations.
All right. So this is why it is out right now. It happens to coincide nicely with Jussie Smollett starting a rumor about himself that he was going to be back on Empire, and then having Lee Daniels, the executive producer of Empire, go, no, he's not.
Not.
Nope. So here is, and I don't know, is this the same manager I have? I don't know. We'll find out.
This is Frank Gatson.
Frank Gatson, not my same manager. Close though.
I just need a police to come by. I work with an artist. I don't really want to say his name, but he stayed here. He went to Subway. He was walking by, and some guys, I don't know, they jumped him or something like that. And I just want to report it and make sure he's all right. I'm waiting in the lobby. I'm going to go back up to the apartment.
Okay, so you're going back to the apartment, so you're just going to leave him there?
Yeah, I came down because I didn't really know the address. I didn't realize the address, and, you know, he was cool. He didn't want me to call you guys, but I feel like he needs to make a report.
Okay, you can't make the report for him. Did he want to make a report?
No, that's why I'm doing it. He's definitely going to make the report. I'm going to make him make the report.
Does your friend need an ambulance?
I just think he's startled. What's really weird, ma'am, just because I'm scared, I don't know what it is. They put a noose around his neck. You know, they didn't do anything with it, but it's around his neck. That's really f***ed up to me. Sorry for saying it like that.
Okay, and this is a well-known person?
Yes, it is.
All right, watch for the police.
All right. Now, that is a long-suffering OEMC employee right there, 911 operator, who's like, hell. You know, I mean, imagine the stuff they hear.
Oh, I cannot imagine.
It's interesting because his manager there is, you know, playing into the whole thing. They put a noose around his neck. Now, do we know that the manager wasn't in on this? I'm assuming he's not in on it. Because I haven't heard that he was in on it. Because wouldn't he be one of the guys that everybody'd be talking to?
You would think so by now that had he known about it in advance, that might have been news. But
so is he still the manager? And would you still be the manager if that happened? You know, the way it worked out?
You just wonder at what point did the manager start to wonder about this story? Because he was there right after the attack. He heard all the details. He stepped into it by calling 911, got himself involved. And at what point did he see it all unraveling?
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And then he was thinking, I still need to get my 10%. So I'm going to stay here right now. But then once you lose the Empire gig, does he... But Jussie's also got a music career. And I think that Jussie will still fill up. Listen, R. Kelly, who... is accused of doing far worse things.
Yes.
Right? Far worse things.
Beyond.
Still
yes.
can, you know, still.
But is that still going to happen? It seems like now R. Kelly's caught
so
up
much.
In some real legal troubles that a lot of people felt should have, you know, been present earlier. Even though he did go to trial, he was found not guilty. It seemed like there was a lot more there to investigate, and now more of that is being investigated and more charges have been brought against him.
I believe if Jussie Smollett does not eventually come clean and say, yeah, I did this, I shouldn't have done it, it's wrong, his career will be filled with other moments like this. He's got to stop and think that this was the wrong thing to do in his own heart and in his own head so that he doesn't do this anymore. Otherwise, he's going to totally trash what is could be still a decent, if not great, career. But he's got to come clean, and he's got to apologize for doing it. That's all. Thank you. I have spoken.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of speaking, Justin Coffin's going to be here. It's an extension 720, a very special extension 720, an extension 720 special that is coming up right after these important messages. Stay right here.